about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Man, you better get power of attorney to a loved one, because it's about to get crazy.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, Kevin asked me out. I was kind of feeling good about re-entering the dating pool, and then Kevin asked me out. Thought I might trade up to a new level of man. Then Kevin asked me out.
Just let it go.
Dude, yeah. That is awesome.
Give it up for this guy. I don't know his name.
Are you hearing, as we're speaking, how incredibly lame you are?
What does the bean say? What does the cannon say? Part of us.
And now. Anyway, I got some more music and goodies coming up. Stick around. I am here. Hope you are there.
Our feature presentation.
What exactly are goodies?
I am
terrified
songs?
To ask when you're dealing with Mr. Bingenheimer. I don't know.
Will those be songs, hopefully?
Perhaps. Perhaps he means, maybe. Yeah, maybe he's some gems, some things you haven't heard before that'll make your day. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Maybe.
That's scary. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 30th of January.
How's everybody doing? What's going on? Who just wants the Super Bowl to be here and be over? Who's tired of hearing about it?
Well, I don't really hear about it, so
yeah,
I'm
I don't,
good.
I try to stay away as well, so I'm okay. Not quite at that point.
It's pretty much all Super Bowl all the time
yeah.
these days, and yeah. we certainly have contributed to that.
Sure.
We do our part with talking
yeah.
about the Super Bowl, but it's just it's one of those things like we always say, like everybody always says, 2 weeks is just too long in between. Get to the game already.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
You start off with any good stories, and then you go to the B level, then you go to the C level, and then you go to nonsense, just straight nonsense.
I can't remember what it was I saw. Somebody there covered yesterday, they were asking Peyton Manning about the TV shows he watches or something, and it was just like, at some point, let the man get back to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't need Peyton Manning's thoughts on Duck Dynasty or Mad Men or whatever the hell you were talking to him about. So, anyway, it's coming. We'll tell you about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show here in a moment. This is an interesting story. It's a little unusual, not quite like the most of the stories we do. No one dies or is caught in compromising, you know, sex position or
well,
anything like that.
Well, what's the point?
You know, we're always amazed when somebody finds a new Beatles song in their attic or a guy uncovers a Rembrandt in his garage that nobody knew about. I mean, it's amazing to think how many incredibly valuable things there are around the world that no one knows about. I'm always amazed by those stories. Like, how does somebody lose track of that thing?
Yeah.
And this may be the ultimate story that I've seen like that. This just was just revealed very recently, but last year – the first Porsche, or Porsche, depending on how fancy your pronunciation is, in the world, dubbed the P1, built by hand by Ferdinand Porsche himself, was discovered in a warehouse in Austria where it had been untouched since 1902.
Untouched?
No kidding.
It was built in 1898, and it was the first Porsche. And it just was – it was – you know, they –
didn't we not have cars till the 20s and 30s?
Well, it took a while for cars to become mass-produced.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're thinking of when Ford came in and figured out a way to make a lot of them and make them cheap.
Oh,
up
till
that
okay.
point, they were very expensive to make and handmade. But the car was built in 1898 by Ferdinand Porsche himself. It was an electric vehicle, by the way. Rolled onto the streets of Vienna for the first time June 26th, 1898. In fact, he engraved the code P1 into all the key components. As I said, it's the very first one. The first serious test came in a race for electric cars in September of 1899. He was part of this race where contestants had to complete 24 miles with 3 passengers on board. He won the race by 18 minutes.
Wow.
This thing was
smoked
humming. It could chug along at 22 miles an hour, you guys.
Wow.
That's a crazy Porsche, right? So obviously he continued to build cars and would found the car company in 1948, and Porsche is still a popular, you know, well-respected brand around the world. But just last year it was discovered in a warehouse. It was bought by one of Porsche's living relatives for a Porsche museum, and it's going to go on display starting this Friday. When you see it, it's not the sleek Porsche that we're used to anymore. I mean, it really is just barely a step above a horse and buggy, but it does have a, you know, has a big engine underneath it and a steering wheel and all the stuff that, you know, we come to know cars for.
It was electric. It's not
It was electric.
Not
a compact
powered or anything?
compact electric drive weighing 286 pounds. Apparently, Porsche also invented shock absorbers to hold the engine as well. So that's a piece of automotive history. It doesn't say here what they had to pay for it to get it back, but I wonder what something like that is worth. I mean, think about all the Porsche enthusiasts around the world. The first Porsche, hand-built by the man himself with P1 on it. It's pretty cool, right?
So the guy wins the race and then just puts it in the warehouse and goes, well, that was cool.
I'm going to move on. Maybe he thought, I can do better.
Maybe. Yes.
And then he went to the next one.
I bet that's exactly what it was. I bet he looked at it as a prototype and thought, well, I won't destroy it, but it's not something I ever need again because I learned so much from building this one that the next one's, you know, going to be the one I drive.
Right.
It's going to be more useful to me. But pretty cool story that something was sitting around for 100 years like that.
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bijo, shall we?
Let me think about it. I don't care.
Oh, you haven't heard yet. You haven't heard. We're going to talk to Penn Jillette about something that I really am having trouble caring about.
I understand that.
I watch the trailer and I look at it and I go, not for me.
This one is absolutely in my wheelhouse, though. Basically, what Penn is involved in is a documentary trying to figure out how a famous Renaissance painter was able to do the painting that he did because we don't know how to do it today. What were his secret techniques to be able to create art like that hundreds of years ago? And they're trying to get to the bottom of it and try to use science to figure it out. I think it's pretty cool.
But when the guy himself, the guy that's doing it, said, yeah, if I wasn't doing a movie, I probably would move on. I was like, well, then why are we doing this?
Because I think that, well, we'll talk to Penn about it. All but right. I think that guy, the scientist who's, you know, leading the charge on trying to understand the painting, goes, I'm biting off more than I can chew. This is too much work to try to figure this out. And he's probably just getting frustrated with how much time it's taken him.
Hmm. All right. Well, Penn's always a great guest. So
yes, always interesting.
Ask him why we should care. We are going to talk about a website called rallyme.com, and it's for, I guess, Olympians need to raise money.
Yeah, a lot of them don't really have sponsors, or they don't get a lot of money from their sponsors, and they can't work full-time jobs because they're training all the time. So they have minimum wage jobs, not much better than that, and they, you know, skates and stuff cost like $800 a pair.
What?
It's crazy how much their equipment costs.
Speaking of the Olympics, we're going to talk in the next hour about people who hate the Olympics.
Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman.
There are a lot of them out there. I remember growing up. I have to tell the story of growing up and just sitting there by myself watching.
Nobody in your family cared?
Not a single person.
No kidding.
Not a single
person. You were adopted.
I was.
Yeah. Well, I think Ralph's just ticked off that there's, you know, some of the shows go away. Like The Blacklist
doesn't come back
until after the Olympics. And I think he's like, hey, if you're going to replace it with something good.
That does suck. And the other thing that sort of sucks is all of the promotion. It's always on the screen.
Yep.
Yes.
That drives you crazy
as well.
And
that started a year ago.
It started a year ago, yeah. And you go, all right, the Olympics, fine. You have the Olympics.
Got it.
Comedian Jimmy Pardo will be in the studio today.
Mm-hmm.
He is never not funny.
He's never not funny. Right, yes. We're going to talk about the best of Super Bowl commercials on the program today.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about a 61-year-old man who tried to have sex with a goat. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. The show is 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, one of the bands that's going to be appearing at the Super Bowl halftime show, along with Bruno Mars this weekend, is going to be joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right after the top of the hour to explain what's up. That's coming up. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning.
What's happening?
Nothing, man. Welcome back, Kevin. Good to see you, by the way.
Thank you.
Good to see you, brother. Welcome home. Always a pleasure to work with you, sir.
You've never said that before.
Nope.
You were doing the...
I'll never say it again.
You were doing the finger gun pointing like Joe Biden at the State of the Union the other night.
Hey, you. Hey, yes, you after the show. All right, sweetie.
Does he not know the camera's on him, by the way, when the president is speaking?
Yeah.
You're right behind the president all the time.
Right. We can see you, Joe.
Someone tell Joe he's always on camera.
Nuts. I want to give people a heads up. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I will be back with Hollywood Babylon, our patented brand of comedy where I drink a lot and Kevin gets baked and we make with the funny. So come out and see us 10 p.m. tomorrow night at the Improv. You can go to improv.com or BabylonRalph.com for details and tickets. But we have a good time. I think you will,
nope.
too.
Nope.com.
And we will definitely be doing our weekly segment on Justin Bieber. You'd love our theme song for Justin Bieber.
Oh, I'll bet.
We couldn't play
Probably
it
couldn't, play,
couldn't
it
play it on this show.
That's what I was thinking.
It's a very entertaining little jingle. Bieber has gotten into a legal mess, not only here in the United States, but now back at home, too.
All right.
Yay! Justin, who was arrested last week in Miami for driving under the influence and drag racing, is reportedly already in Toronto to face charges for assault.
Really?
These charges are related to the alleged assault of a limo driver in December. Here's the story. Apparently, Bieber attended a Toronto Maple Leafs game on the 29th of December. And some sort of altercation took place between Justin and his limo driver. Police originally thought it was a member of Justin's posse who slapped the driver around.
Because Justin couldn't do that.
Well, the cops found out that it was Justin who did that. Justin was the one who slapped the limo driver. They asked Justin to come in and talk about it. They're so polite. Even the Canadian police. Hey, it'd be great if you could come down to the station, eh? And, you know, we have a conversation about you slapping that guy.
If I'm the limo driver, I don't admit that I just got slapped by Bieber.
I do. I fall down like a soccer player. I grab my neck. I grab my groin. Everything. Oh, I'll never work again. I'll never be able to have children. It's ching, ching, ching the whole time. I just hear cash registers in my head. I scream it from the rooftops if Justin Bieber slaps me. They talked to him about it. He refused initially to come down to the station. Then he decided he would. And pending further investigation, he was, in fact, booked for assault.
How about that?
So we'll have to see what happens with that case. And meanwhile, in Miami Beach, Justin's lawyer pleaded not guilty to driving under the influence and with an expired license, which I think is hilarious because when they picked him up, he had an expired license and told the cops he was under the influence.
Yeah, that did
happen. And he's pleading not guilty in court, so I don't know how he's going to swing that. But he will be arraigned on Valentine's Day. Oh, that's I hope sweet. He finds a sweetheart in the lockup.
I think it's a legal strategy to plead not guilty because that way you have a chance at a reduced sentence. If you plead guilty, then you automatically get the most you can get for those charges.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh,
but is it better? So you're not actually contest.
You're not actually saying you did. That's a completely different option he didn't take. But you're not actually saying I didn't do it. You're saying I'm pleading not guilty to the charge because you want a chance to to work it down.
Yeah, but given the evidence that the prosecutors have, I think you'd be better off making a deal with them pleading guilty for a lesser sentence than you would be pleading not guilty.
Possibly. Yeah. I mean,
like
I have no idea how
it would work out. It would annoy them if you're going to plead not guilty,
especially when they have so much evidence. Right. Huh. Like, really? Not? Well, I'm sorry, you said not guilty? All right, okay. Let's take this one to court, because this is going to be fun then. That's what
I don't know if
you
heard
the DA.
Ralph, we had Dax Holdon from TMZ last week, and he said that the blood alcohol level was negligible. It was way less than was reported initially after the story. Dax seems to think that Bieber's going to get off, and nothing's going to happen to him as a result.
Well, what about the pot and the Xanax? That counts. That counts. It's not just booze.
Yeah.
He was under the influence of several different substances.
And told him
Look,
he was.
Yeah. I'm with you. I want him put away for life.
You love
I
him.
Do.
No.
I want him put away for life.
I wish he was who I used to fell in love with, that guy.
That's you did you used are. To love him.
Yeah.
This must be just heart-wrenching for you, B.
No, it's not. Look, sorry. I don't have any problem, making up my mind based on current conditions. He's a douchebag and
right.
should be put away or maybe possibly put down.
Death penalty is what I'm thinking in Florida.
I'm fine with that, yeah.
All right.
And, it's the law. If you get enough people on a petition and send it to the White House, they got to look at it and rule on it. It's the law here in the United States.
Is it?
If you have 100,000 people on a petition and you send that petition to the White House, they have to read it and consider it and comment on it.
Is that true? Or you just
it's true.
Okay.
And that's just what 100,000 people have done when they signed the petition asking President Obama to deport Justin Bieber and revoke his green card.
Oh, that would be so sweet.
The White House has to review any petition to the president if there are more than 100,000 signatures on it that are garnered within 30 days. Well, in just 6 days, 102,000 people signed the deport Justin Bieber petition. Now,
USA! USA! USA!
everyone is saying, of course, the president isn't going to do anything about deporting Justin Bieber, but he will have to review it and release some sort of comment on it, which is
love it.
Hilarious. The petition says, and I quote, "Justin is not only threatening the safety of our people, but he is also a terrible influence on our nation's youth." So we'll see if we can just
send him back to Canada.
Send him back.
They don't want him. Kick him out.
Send him back in a box. That's what I said. Send him back in an urn. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper, actor Kid Cudi is 30 years old today. Wilmer Valderrama, ladies' man. He used to be an actor, too. He played the popular candy dispenser Pez on that 70s show.
I think it was Fez.
34 years old today. Andy Milonakis. Remember him? Oh, a cute little Andy Milonakis. Oh, look, he's four, and he's telling jokes.
Little fat kid.
Yeah, it turns out he's 38.
Oh, wow.
I think when they were saying he was a kid, I think he was 40.
Well, he looked 15 when we first got introduced to him, right?
Yeah, I think that was the phenomenon, was they looked so ridiculously young, they were able to play him off like being a kid. But he was actually in his late 20s.
He had a moment with the Super Bowl is gay was his big moment back in the day, right? That was, we thought big things would happen for him, and it seemed like he kind of evaporated a little bit.
Turns out he was super annoying.
Yeah.
And everyone realized that shortly thereafter. Christian Bale. Oh, Christian Bale.
How Christian great, Bale. How come great on.
Christian
Bale. He's great in everything.
He's
the best.
Oh, good for you. Am I the best? La-di-da-di-da. Do I go where you are and tell you that you're the best?
No. No.
You're not done professionally, mate.
How high up would he be on the list, Ralph, if you were able to pick your new best friend in the world? Christian Bale.
He'd be pretty high up there.
Yeah, gotta be, right?
Absolutely. Super talented, seems like a really good guy. Got his head on his shoulders. Don't step in his eye line when he's filming.
That's an important tip.
I wouldn't adjust any lights while he was on the set.
Right.
But I think if I avoided that, we could be buddies. He's 40 years old today. Actor Charles S. Dutton, very talented guy, is 63. Phil Collins, he's 63 as well. Maybe we'll rock a little Against All Odds a little bit later on.
Didn't we just
A look at me now?
Was it just his birthday like a month ago?
No, we were talking about him because he was thinking of getting back in the game.
Oh, remember? Okay.
And they said he was going to play Coachella, and he had no idea what Coachella was. He was in the news quite a bit over the past month, but his birthday is today. Vanessa Redgrave, 77. And speaking of legends, Mr. Gene Hackman celebrates his 84th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I can't contribute here. I'm watching The Road to Sochi on NBC right now. The reporters are on the ground in Russia right now. It's on, you guys. It's on.
Oh, my God. They're going to show. Will there be snow?
Of course there'll be snow. It's the Winter Olympics, Ralph. Yes.
Thank God.
Of course there's going to be snow.
Thank God it's here because we all really care about all of these events.
Well, we do all really care about these events, Ralph. The Winter Olympics in general are among the biggest, highest-rated television events in history.
Absolutely. It is a completely manufactured ball of hype that everyone buys into.
This is going to surprise
congratulations.
You. This is going to surprise you, Ralph, but I love the Olympics.
Do you?
I do.
Well, it's true because I know between the last Olympics and this Olympics, you're constantly watching curling and speed skating. And I know you're a big ice dancing fan.
Yeah, I hate that.
No, you love it. And the biathlon, I know you're a huge biathlon follower. So I can see why you get really excited every 4 years when they start showing these events nonstop. Because you love these events.
You're going to love this story because it explains so much about me. When I was a kid, I used to sit in front of the TV and watch the Olympics.
Because you love all those events.
No,
that wasn't it. Because you yourself were a competitive ice skater. No, that wasn't your interest. So you tell me why you were watching as a kid.
I really do think it's the us against them competition part of it.
Well, that's healthy.
I think it is.
I think we need more reasons to be angry and hostile towards other nations and somehow believing that anything that happens in Sochi will have any impact on our quality as a country or the inferiority or superiority of other countries.
But I used to watch the Olympics by the hour, and my family would walk through. I have two brothers, and one of them would walk by, and I would go, "Hey, the Olympics are on. You want to watch?" And they're like, "No."
But this guy is skiing and then shooting at a target.
And then my other brother walked by and I said, "Hey, let's watch the Olympics." And he's like, No, thanks.
Yeah.
My mom, my dad, no.
It's stunning. You were surrounded by common sense as
just
a child,
me.
And still you turned out this way. Stunning.
Look,
to me.
Here's what I don't understand. And we're looking for some of Ralph's people on the phone that can explain it with less anger at 1-800-520-1067.
It's more fun with more anger.
If you hate the Olympics, why? Here's what I don't get. If Lisa came in and said, oh, Olympics are a big waste of time. It screws up my TV schedule. I'm not going to watch a minute of it over the next 2 weeks. It would make sense to me because she doesn't watch sports.
Right.
You, Ralph, love sports.
Yes.
You love football. You love hockey. When it gets to college and NBA's, you know, finals, you'll watch those.
Right.
You appreciate competitiveness and athleticism. This is that on the biggest stage. This is that with people who are among the greatest athletes that ever lived doing what they were born to do. How can you not appreciate that just from a sports-loving perspective?
Look, I think top-notch golfers are accomplished as well.
Yeah. No, we're talking sports. Talking sports.
I don't watch golf.
I'm
talking sports, too. That's why I don't watch a guy ski and then shoot targets.
Well, that's a stupid thing.
Or a guy skate really fast. If it was on every week, nobody would watch skating.
I agree. I totally agree.
Put it to NBC, if it's so wonderful, NBC every weekend should show guys racing on ice skates and see how passionate America is about guys going fast on skates.
But see, this is...
They're not, because they tell you it's important, and so everyone tunes in because they're told it's important.
Or is it possible that we get up for the skating as an example that you give because these are the best skaters in the world? It's not just average skaters every weekend. These are the best skaters in the world who come together at this one time every 4 years to show us how it's done.
There's great amateur athletes constantly competing all year round, everywhere, all the time. And nobody gives a rat's
ass. But this is so much a step above that, though.
Because
this is world-class athletes all in the same place.
They make it so
because the Olympics are going on.
But the Olympics, the hype and the excitement around the Olympics is manufactured. It's as much a TV event as anything you'll find. And to put import on it and think it's more than just another hyped television event is ridiculous.
So when that, that zero... swimmer guy, the guy who broke all the records,
Michael Phelps,
the one after him.
Oh yeah,
that guy. Yeah. When that was happening at the last Summer Olympics, how could you not get caught up in the drama of how many world records that guy was breaking every time he got into the pool? Look,
because
I don't care about swimming.
I
don't watch swimming, but to see what he was doing and to see that he was doing it better than it's ever been done before, every single time he got in the pool, that was pretty remarkable.
But he was swimming. Am I wrong, or was he swimming?
It's tough to argue with that.
He was swimming fast.
Swimming fast.
There is some interest in a guy who can swim really fast.
Right.
There's another interest with a guy who can put 100 cigarettes in his mouth at the same time.
I like that.
That's interesting.
We should make that an Olympic sport.
But we shouldn't stop all the world to sit down and watch the guy stuff 100 cigarettes in his mouth.
Okay. Is that your issue? Is that we're stopping the world? We're stopping TV shows?
Like, no, it's like the hype and the import put on the event is way out of proportion, in my opinion. Way out of whack.
Yeah, I can see why you feel that way.
And then
if
you lay on top of it,
but
USA, yeah, we're USA, yeah, our guy was able to skate faster than other guy. Woo, we're better. First of all, it has nothing to do with you.
It does. It means America rules.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean anything. We got the same problems. There's still people sleeping in the streets, people without health care. It doesn't help our country at all that guy skates really fast, and it doesn't make us better than Greece.
It does if we have a guy that skates faster than the guy from Greece.
That's true. It doesn't
matter. That is true.
No, he's right. It doesn't mean anything.
Hard to argue with
B's
logic.
And to buy into that jingoism of like, well, now we're USA, we're better than the other countries. It's just dumb.
Okay. Look, we want to open up the phone lines. If you're on Ralph's side and you hate the Olympics, all Olympics or just Winter Olympics, Ralph? Are you feel the same way about the summer one?
Oh, summer's even worse.
It is?
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
Because then you get guys jumping over things and just running fast.
There's
if
a lot of
nonsense
Olympics.
In all of the Olympics.
Yes,
I agree.
We want to hear
like,
from
whoa,
you.
What about hockey? You love hockey? It's like, yes, that's why I watch hockey all season long.
I do too.
Every year. I don't have to tune in the Olympics to watch hockey.
But the Olympic
it's like an all-star game.
But the Olympic hockey is fascinating because of the competition and the us against them.
They're
I like
good
that.
Players, but they're all the pros. They're all
they
the guys
are
I
all
watch
the pros.
All the time anyway.
I agree.
And I'm
We're
watching those
calls.
Guys all the time anyway.
At 1-800-520-1067, if you're on Ralph's team here and you hate the Olympics. Let me just ask you one question before we have to go to break, Ralph. So do you not care at all how many medals the U.S. wins in the Olympics? Does it make no difference to you? Or are you a little bit proud and a little bit patriotic when the USA takes the gold?
Why should I be proud of someone else's accomplishment? How do I co-sign into that guy's accomplishments?
He or she represents you and your country.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, they do. The athletes represent America, the country that we live in and love.
Only because they say they do.
What does that mean?
Because the guy trains all his whole life.
Right.
He does something amazing. Good for him. But I can't share in that. I don't get any residual pride or reflected glory off of that.
But isn't that true? If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, you have nothing to do with it except as a fan, yet you still take pride in them because they represent your team and your city.
Because I'm a fan of that sport that I watch. I've watched each and every available game to watch. I have seen that for 40 years.
Right.
But if you're a person and you tune into every swim meet and every swim event that happens throughout the 4 years in between Olympics, then I give you all the props in the world for being excited about the swimming events. But if you ignore it for 4 years, then once every 4 years, suddenly you're passionate about a guy who's swimming, F you.
Look, maybe it's not interesting enough for more than every 4 years. But it doesn't mean that every 4 years it's not interesting.
But
you know what I mean?
But the amount of import and hype and faux excitement that's generated and the amount of press time and TV time and focus that it's put on an event where a guy's skating, way out of whack. But the emperor has no clothes and everyone's just buying into it.
You don't puff your chest out just a little bit when the curling is on and we're winning?
No. If we win the curling, I don't go, USA, somehow I'm part of the curling success.
That's what I think.
No, you're not, and I don't.
1-800-520-1067. Like Ralph, you hate the Olympics. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Every 2 years, we are reminded on the Kevin and Bean Show that Ralph hates the Olympics, and we're taking your calls this morning if you agree with him at 1-800-520-1067. Frequent Kevin and Bean listener and contributor Christian writes in, I love sports, you guys, but I also hate the Olympics, especially the Winter Olympics, because we're Southern Californians. Who gives a crap about random winter sports? They are stupid, dumb, absurd.
That's right. Uh-oh. Just let it go.
Christian, I got to tell you, if you're using Kevin on your side, you're not going to win too many arguments. I'm with Kevin on this, and I still think that's a dangerous strategy. Let's take a couple of calls, though, Ralph, and see who's out there agreeing with you, including our friend Shivash, who's on line one to get us going here on K-Rock. Shivash!
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We are good.
What's up?
First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I also think that there's no point in having a Winter Olympic. No one actually sits there and watch it. People watch it when there's nothing else on TV.
All right.
It's hard. Problem is, there is nothing else on TV when they put the Olympics on.
They do discontinue most shows.
They cancel shows that are so good, and they just put it on break so that the Winter Olympics can come on.
That does
happen,
yeah.
But guys,
that's a downside.
I don't know much about the finances of TV, but doesn't NBC pay hundreds of millions of dollars for the rights to air these Olympics? There must be a lot of viewers, or they wouldn't do it.
There are a lot of
people
viewers.
People do watch.
But my point is that it is a manufactured sense of patriotism that makes people tune in. Like, the defenders of the Olympics are proving my point. I'm getting hate tweets now saying, F you, you're unpatriotic, you hate America. Yes, because I'm not watching the United States curling team. That makes me hate the country that I love and was born in. You're absolutely right.
That makes a lot of sense to me, Ralph.
You are geniuses, all you people who are claiming that I'm unpatriotic.
Curling is the best winter sport, though.
I'm proud of this country for so many reasons. Our curling team is not at the top of the list of reasons I think America is the greatest country on the planet.
Shivash, thanks so much for calling in after all this time. We appreciate it. Let's go to John. He's up next. He's on line three here on the Kevin Beach Show. He's on Ralph's I Hate the Olympics team. Hi, John.
Hey, party people. Lisa May.
Hello.
John.
Olympics.
You say it's the best athletes in the world gathering us against them. What about the world championships that happen every year? It's the exact same athletes. It's still us against them. And does anyone give a damn about the world championships that happened in the 3 years between the Olympics?
John's right. They have meets for these sports all the time. Every year they have the Pan Am Games and all these competitions with these exact same athletes, and nobody cares or watches.
But
I think that's true.
It is
true.
How is that different, though, Ralph, when interleague baseball play happens and two teams play in a regular season game that doesn't mean much, but those same two teams meet 3 months later in the World Series for the championships? The stakes are higher just based on the venue. It's the same thing with the Olympics.
But you can't compare baseball and the interest in baseball to any of the most of the sports in the Olympics.
No, but what I'm saying is you're saying your argument is that those same athletes are competing against each other, but no one cares.
Championships are the most important in their respective sport.
Yeah, more so than the Olympics.
And what I'm saying is if the Dodgers and the Yankees play in August, it only is just a regular season game. It doesn't mean anything. 2 months later, all of a sudden, those same two teams with those same two players are playing in the World Series. Now it means everything. I'm saying that's the same thing.
The Olympics are that much bigger than the World Championship.
That's what I'm saying. That's right. For the record books and for with the eyes of the world on them.
But what do you think the degree of difference is, discrepancy between people who care about that regular season game versus the World Series games versus the Olympic games and then the World Championships in that same sport? What do you think the discrepancy is there in interest in the United States being?
I don't know.
I think the World Championships probably no one cares about.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And then suddenly everyone cares passionately every 4 years about these same sports.
Have you watched curling? They have brooms.
I will hit you with a broom.
All right, let's go to Randy. Hi, Randy.
Hey, how's it going? I'm on Ralph's side here.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Randy.
Good call.
Why four? What do you got? What's your reasoning?
So here's my reasoning is this. The events in the Olympics are just too mundane. They need to be more high risk, high reward.
High risk.
For example, if they had a guy in there, jumping 50 school buses with his cape on fire, that's something I would watch.
You're damn right, Randy.
That should be an Olympic sport.
It should be like the Hunger Games. It should be the Olympic Hunger Games.
Exactly. They need to Hunger Game it up. These guys can run fast, throw a line behind them. These guys can swim fast, throw a shark in there with them.
Shark in there with them. I like it.
You know, I would so watch that every year.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Two of our favorite guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show will be here later. Jimmy Pardo next hour and Penn Jillette in the 8 o'clock hour. That is straight ahead. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Sorry, I'm busy getting through my tweets. Go back to the whatever communist country you came from.
You're communist.
One of our listeners.
I think that's sound logic.
I think point proven. Thank you for being a witness for the prosecution. I appreciate that. Speaking of communism.
Who are these communists?
Right, Lisa. That's what I'm trying to say. This Justin Bieber. He's got to be a commie, right?
No question.
He's the red menace. Not only here in the States, but now his home country of Canada is trying to put him in jail as well.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
He's reportedly already in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, facing charges related to assault of a limo driver that happened in December. The story is that Bieber attended a Toronto Maple Leafs game on December the 29th. An altercation took place with the limo driver, and Bieber proceeded to slap him around.
Sounds like communism.
Cops in the Great White North originally thought it was one of Justin's entourage who did the slapping, but then facts came to light that, in fact, it was indeed Justin who roughed up his limo driver.
Hey, you, what are you doing? Hey, you're a bad limo driver.
You're not driving fast enough.
I love that he slapped him, too.
I know. Who slapped?
They didn't punch him. Didn't kick him.
Yeah. Anyway, cops investigated. They brought Bieber in for questioning, and they did slap him with an assault charge.
Love it.
He was given a citation and sent home, but this will start the legal process there in Toronto, and he may have to face a judge or whatever they have there in Canada. What do they have, like a rock, paper, scissors competition or something?
I don't know how their justice system works there.
No, but where the hell is that in the Olympics, Ralph?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. They should have competitive lawyering. Speaking of Bieber, President Obama will now be confronted with the Bieber question. What will our president do? Will he do the right thing? This is everything for me. Whatever with Obamacare and jobs and the economy.
His presidency hinges on this.
This will be his legacy. This is his issue.
His defining moment. This is his 9/11.
As the petition to deport Justin Bieber comes across his desk this week.
And it will?
It will. It is the law in these United States of ours that the White House must review any petition to the president that have more than 100,000 signatures that are gathered within a 30-day period. So if you put a petition together for any reason, you can get 100,000 people to sign it within 30 days, and then you send it to the president. The president must review it.
No kidding.
And make some sort of comment. The Deport Justin Bieber petition got 102,000 signatures in 6 days. The petition says Justin is not only threatening the safety of our people, but is a terrible influence on our nation's youth and is asking for the president to do the right thing, to deport Justin Bieber and revoke his green card.
Look, I think the White House needs to have their ears open to the streets.
Yes.
But hasn't this turned into a colossal waste of time when every 2 weeks there's another petition about a grape soda flavor or something, whatever it is?
They don't downplay it. This is important in this particular case.
This is America, okay? This is how why we're the greatest nation
in the
world.
Oh, now all of a sudden you like America.
I see. USA! 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 Because we have direct access to our leader.
Right.
You can take him anything, as dumb as you can think of. You can make him think about it.
Love it.
Didn't we make the White House comment on UFOs or something
yes.
last year? Wasn't that one of the petitions that got
yes.
signed? Is we insist that you tell us whether you believe in aliens?
This is the virtual big block of cheese, man. I'm all about this. Transparency, access. It's awesome.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
And I think Bieber's a dick. Can't wait for that speech. It's going to be awesome.
It would be awesome if he had brought it up in the State of the Union.
Yeah. And speaking of Justin Bieber, what an asshole.
Come on. That's all he needed to say.
Both sides of the aisle would have stood up. He'd be the most successful president in the history of the United
States. They would have changed the Constitution so he could run again.
Absolutely. He missed out a big opportunity. Hey, come see me and Kevin Smith tomorrow night at the Improv on Melrose. We'll be talking about Justin Bieber.
No.
Come on, Nopey.
Nopey,
if you come once, I think you're enjoyed. You'll come back again.
Where's Nopey from?
No.
It's Gumby's pet dog, Nopey. The dog that could only say no.
All right.
Come on, Kevin.
Never saw it.
I like it. Go to improv.com to get your tickets for me and Kevin Smith doing Hollywood Babylon. Again, we're back at the Improv on Melrose tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Nopey is not coming.
He's not.
Nor is
not
the kids from South Park. Nor is Rodney, apparently. He's not coming. Not in the face. I don't know whatever that means.
No!
Celebrity birthdays today. Gene Hackman, one of my favorites. 84 years old today. You know, he sort of set the standard of famous high-class, highfalutin actors taking roles in comic book movies. When you think about it, he was Lex Luthor in the original Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. Up till then, comic book movies were sort of marginalized and thought as being something stupid for kids. But for a guy of Gene Hackman's quality and caliber as an actor, for him to take a starring role in a superhero movie changed the
Did
world
really?
Forever. Yeah.
Wasn't there a time when he just basically said yes to every single movie?
Hackman?
Though? Yeah.
Towards the end of his career, he was scrolling away the cash, I get the sense.
He was.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to retire, and he's one of those guys who walked away, just said, I'm done acting. I'm finished.
Made a ton of cash. But when Superman came out, it was 77, I guess, 78. He was still in the height of his powers.
That?
He was in his prime, and he said, yeah, okay, I'll play Lex Luthor.
You owe him.
And now he paved the way for Nicholson to be the Joker. I mean, then it became okay for these, you know, high-profile actors to take roles in comic book movies.
Ralph, you're the movie expert. Name a Hackman movie most of our listeners haven't seen that is great.
The Conversation.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Francis Ford Coppola,
amazing
movie.
Film. And
sounds good.
It's great.
Seriously, get it.
Yeah, get it on Netflix or download it. It's he plays a surveillance expert.
Oh.
Who spends his time spying on other people. He's like a private detective kind of thing. But then through a series of events, he makes the wrong enemies, and he starts to believe that he is being surveilled.
Oh, sweet.
And his paranoia sets in, and it's a remarkable study in privacy and in paranoia.
It's got a terrible name, though.
The Conversation?
Yeah, because I see that. I go, nope,
boring.
I'm moving right on.
Kevin thinks it's two people talking about
the Conversation.
He's not interested. But, I mean, Unforgiven, he's amazing in Unforgiven. I mean, it's just almost every movie he's in. He's one of those guys who was in a lot of bad movies, but he was never bad.
He's always good in those bad movies.
Yeah. So
for the modern generation, though, the Royal Tenenbaums, I mean, what's better than that?
You're hard-pressed. I love the guy. And he is now retired, but occasionally he will beat up a homeless person, which I like. But I'm at 84. Vanessa Redgrave, 77. Phil Collins is 63, as is Charles S. Dutton. Christian Bale turns 40 years old today. Andy Milonakis, the comedian, is 38. Wilder Valderrama is 34. And rapper and actor Kid Cudi turns 30 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 7 o'clock.
We let that one breathe a little bit, huh?
You know, we don't
wrung every last drop out of that sponge. Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Thursday morning. We have a bunch of different ways that you can reach us. Of course, you can tweet us at Kevin and Bean. We got the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. You can always leave comments on posts at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. You can email us. All of our email addresses are the person you're trying to reach at krock.com. Or you can call the Kevin and Bean Afro line, which we have set up for you. It's our voicemail system at 323-520-AFRO. You call us, leave a message. We play it back on the radio.
Where did Chuckleheads come from?
Chuckleheads was a criticism of the Kevin and Bean Show from Grantland.com about the way we handled the interview with the Against Me band.
Oh, right. And they called us Chuckleheads.
Yes. Chuckleheads, right.
Which we got a kick out of.
Hey, guys. I've been working on my new line of Chucklehead dolls for kids, and I wanted to know what you thought about what I've had so far. First, Asperger's Chucklehead. Although he loves the mail, he's strangely afraid of packaging peanuts. And he also always talks about subjects no one else cares about. Next, drunk Chucklehead. He has a ginormous head, which he shoves full of alcohol, so much so that it impacts his job performance. Let me know what you think.
I would like to buy some today. I love them. I think they sound great. Well done.
Angriest man in the world called back.
Mr. Ryder, don't cry, you baby. When you're in the city dump, digging through maggots and garbage, trying to locate your bottle of hair dye, and you just can't find one, give me a call, you son of a bitch. I'll have my guide dog help you, mother.
What's happening? Who is this guy?
He's the guy that calls every once in a while. He's just got things on his mind that he has to unload on, wow. Like this one.
Hello, Carlos Mencia. You. I came across a DVD with your name on it. I was this close to buying the mother. And then it occurred to me, do you know what's better than buying this piece of DVD? Knowing I have tapeworm living in my colon, piece of
I don't know.
Oh,
wow, somebody needs a vacation or a nap or something.
Remember when Muggs was interviewing Cage the Elephant and he was talking about Muggs' own thoughts on touring?
Right.
Just a little refresher for those of you that didn't.
See, that's the funny, when you talk to bands about touring, some of them, you know, everybody gets a little homesick, but I think it's so awesome, you know, especially for a young group like you guys, to get to go travel the world. And I feel that, you know, a person could get homesick, but they could also get cabin. So I think that's really awesome.
Oh, I've been stuck in the office all day. I feel like I have a cabin.
You don't want to have cabin.
Beer Mug also talked to Cage the Elephant for, I don't know, a half hour about his mustache and the ways that he has learned to shave. It was just nonsense.
Oh, my God, Beer Mug. Die. Oh, you ever see my mustache? It's so little now, but I want it to be a paintbrush. Yeah. You, Beer Mug. Ah!
Yeah, that's about right. That's the appropriate reaction.
People who get upset at us but still have the capacity to hit on Lisa, always fascinating.
Bean, you're such a douchebag! Hey, Lisa May.
He was able to handle both. He's able to compartmentalize.
You need to get an episiotomy so you can get your head out of your ass.
Okay. I wasn't aware that I needed that, but I will schedule that today. Thank you for the tip.
Good tip.
Hey, this message is for Kevin. Dutch win!
Oh, that came in after the stadium series, but it cut out. That's a shame. I couldn't hear what that said. That's really weird.
I believe it was Ducks.
What?
I think Ducks. I think what he was saying is the Ducks won both of the games back-to-back with the Kings last week. I think that was his point.
I don't think that's what it said.
Jesus Christ, Kevin. Just let it go. How drunk are you?
We never know.
I don't know. This is a fascinating piece of tape that was revealed a couple of weeks ago. And what do you think the circumstances were around?
Just let it go.
I really don't know.
Can you imagine?
I hope it was a St. Patrick's Day or something, Vegas.
I mean, it was on the air. Nobody came to your house late at night while you were drinking, right? I mean, this was you doing your job.
Yeah. Just let it go.
You know how we always say, if you have a complaint, make sure and tell us what it is, because we do a lot of stuff and we don't know exactly necessarily what you're talking about. This is my favorite one ever.
Stop it!
We might be able to if we had any idea what we're supposed to stop.
Stop it!
I do love that.
And here's a Bean complaint.
Hey, Bean, can you click a little bit louder and a little bit more frequently during the show? I'm having a hard time actually not paying attention to the show because of your goddamn clicking. God damn it, Bean! Ah! What's up, Lisa?
323-520-AFR. Jimmy, I'm sorry you had to hear that. I'm sorry Bean was singing. That's not what you want to hear when you come in here. No, you don't expect to hear Bean singing.
I didn't, but I have a different opinion than you guys. Oh. I think it's fantastic.
You do.
Oh, thank you, Jimmy.
I look forward to the day he and I go to karaoke together. And
sure. Yeah,
we sing Al Stewart's what we were just singing.
Yeah.
Let's take our act on the road. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Jimmy Pardo, comedian. Are you an actor as well, Jimmy? For some reason, I wanted to say actor, too. Do you act?
You know what? This week, I'm actually doing an episode of Marin. So I am playing myself.
Play yourself, though, so is that really acting, is the question.
No, you know, I've done that 70s show. I was on Monk. I was on...
Okay.
I had a role in Dreamgirls that got kicked...
That got cut out.
Me, yeah. Too. Me, too, then.
Wow.
What?
If it got cut out, then I was sure. In it, too.
Oh, look at your little... Mine's listed on IMDb, and I get money.
Well, you will.
I do get residuals for reasons I don't understand.
You're not in it. That's awesome.
Love it.
And, of course, most famous for the Never Not Funny podcast. Last time we had you in was right when you were getting ready to do your, I always forget the name, the podcastathon?
Podcastathon, yes, sir.
That's right. That was very successful. Raised a ton of money for Smile Train. I tuned in for a bunch of that. It was super, super fun.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
And you come today bearing new news about the podcast for Jimmy Pardo fans everywhere.
I am. Our podcast, for the first time in 6 years, is free. We are partnered up with Earwolf, that podcast network, and these two amazing forces, Earwolf and Never Not Funny, have partnered, and now we are providing our show for free.
That's awesome.
Now, that's huge, huge news for cheapskates, but help me understand why it matters what podcast network somebody is with. And, I mean, if you're over there at Earwolf, or you're on Nerdist, or you're on Corolla, or Podcast One, or whatever, why does it matter? Don't they still show up on my phone every day?
I think so. I think the answer to that is yes, but talked with a lot of folks about who we wanted to partner with, and we thought that Airwolf was the right one. I've known Scott Aukerman over there for years. We've done a bunch of stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been badgering us forever to join them. And I never – just like you, being, I was like, what's the point in a podcast network? I don't see the point. We're all lone wolves. Let's all do our own thing. And then eventually it was because of this paywall we put up, we limited how many people were listening to us. And everybody kept telling us we're still the best. Let's let everybody know that.
Okay.
And we thought that they had the right channels to get it to the most people.
Well, congratulations.
You still like doing... And Corolla didn't ask us. So that would be...
Are you a guy who wakes up in the morning excited to do the podcast, or is it, like most people, a job that you have to go to?
No, we only do it once a week, but now we're going to do it twice a week. No, it's fun. Not once have I dreaded doing that.
That is a blistering workload twice a week.
You know what I mean? And then I go to Conan and work for 10 minutes. Guys, I've got a tough life going here. No, I love it, man. You know, listen, I haven't shut up since I got in here. I love the sound of my own voice.
Yeah.
One thing that we've known about Jimmy is
the
boy could talk.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about your other career, which is as a stand-up comedian. That's kind of how you made your bones. That's how you became known in this town, right?
Sure. I don't know.
Isn't it? Didn't you come known as a stand-up? Is that your background?
It is my background, but to say became known, I don't know.
Just go with it.
Oh, God, I hate myself. I already hate myself for that answer. Yes. Yes, that's how.
You have, since the last time we saw you, you came out with a new comedy record.
I did.
I am too cheap to buy it, but I did listen to the preview clips on iTunes last night. And it's a hilarious way to enjoy a comedy album because you really only get 30 seconds of every story. And you should try it sometime, Jimmy. It's actually very fun to try to figure out what the hell
like it's going
to end up being. No, it doesn't.
Oh, so it's a little game. You're playing a little game.
Yeah, he's playing a little game.
I'm trying to guess. Wow, I wonder how that story ends because your audience is seeing 30. But man, you interact more with your audience than almost any comedian. I mean, there's a lot to be said for improv. Some people are terrified of it. Some comedians haven't act, and they go out there and do it. I sense that when you hit the stage, you're one of those guys who doesn't need to do any of your act if it's a good enough crowd.
Oh, man, if it's a good crowd, we don't get any of the act, and that's what we want. We don't want to hear any of the things that I have planned, because those are average at best.
Really?
Yeah. Go ahead, question here.
But thank you for pointing
out.
I'm
opening up all the floor. The floor is open for questions, guys.
I appreciate it. But when you tell a joke, you know it's good. When you improvise, you're not always sure it's going to come out.
No, but you know what? I'm lucky enough that, you know, I get enough of my fans in each audience that they are willing to go along with me.
Yeah.
And they're going to go down, and then eventually, you know, some bad 70s music reference will happen, and we all laugh, or I mentioned Kojak for the 59th time, and we laugh. But yeah, it's like I was just in Cincinnati where, you know, I was doing an hour every night, and I think I did two jokes every night.
Really?
And one of them is like this story that's on the CD about me going to the movies with the other comic, and that's just the skeleton. And we start with, hey, I went to the movies with this guy, and then 55 minutes later, there's the end of that story. But in the meantime, it's all improv. That story really should take a minute and a half. But it's, you know, I go everywhere to, yes, I can't write jokes. I'm not Dimitri Martin. I'm not these Bill Burr. I'm not Jerry Seinfeld. That's not my bag.
Well, you know how to sell yourself.
You know, talented.
No, but you're right, Jimmy. I mean, you're doing something. You can't do what they can do, but they probably can't do what you can do, too, and there's certainly room for all different sorts of comedy.
I appreciate you saying that. I think so. Like, I think, you know, Jerry Seinfeld is the greatest stand-up comedian I think, the generation before me. We all wanted to be Jerry Seinfeld, and I'm not saying anything bad about Jerry. I don't think Jerry can go on stage and improvise for an hour. But I can't sit down and do what he does and tighten the screws on a joke to find it just perfectly. So, you know, it's ice cream. There's all different flavors.
There's one thing we learned from his movie, his documentary a couple of years ago about, you know, creating a new act, is that he is so word precise, and that's what makes him so great, isn't it? Is that attention to detail.
Yes.
Every word counts in his act.
Yeah, you know what else is that way? Is Jake Johansson. And Jake's wonderful. I don't know if you guys know Jake very well. I mean, he is just phenomenal.
There are a lot of comedians that come in here and can't do anything except their act.
And
you know what I mean? Like, you can't even have a conversation with them.
When I was growing up, I grew up in Chicago, and I would listen to Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer, and they would have on comics, and you could tell the guys, Richard Lewis, he would riff for 4 hours, and he was a genius.
Right.
And then some other guy would come in. I won't give names because that's not fair. And it was like, quit doing your act.
Yeah.
If I wanted to see your act, I'd go see you in a club. Be right. Funny. Be a comic. And then, you know, some guys can't do it. But
some guys can't, yeah.
Yeah.
They have to figure out how to get back into their act as soon as possible.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, as soon as possible. It's funny. It was as soon as possible just the other day. I was having breakfast. As soon as breakfast is over, I'm possibly going to work on the gutters.
Jimmy Pardo was here at the Kevin and Bean Show making the big announcement that his podcast is now available at earwolf.com or, of course, at podcast.com. And that is up, and that is free, available for everywhere. Real quick before we take a break, though, just because you know, the subscribers are going to want to know. There is still a pay option. If people are determined to give you money,
yes,
they still can. But for what?
Well, you know what? It's $30 for 6 months, $50 for the year, $100 if you want to get a T-shirt and an exclusive Players Club membership card. And
that gets you what?
The membership card?
Uh-huh.
Something to put in your wallet. gives you something to clutter up your pockets.
All right.
It might eventually provide discounts for CDs at live shows and that sort of thing.
Sounds shaky.
Yeah, there's a lot of yes.
Okay, all right.
It's really more just to have the card because it's cool. But you get
Jimmy is this close to being a Nigerian prince at this point.
Listen, I'm going to send you guys some emails as soon as I leave here.
All right, we'll take a break. More with Jimmy when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian and podcaster Jimmy Pardo in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on Twitter at Never Not Funny. There's JimmyPardo.com, Earwolf.com for the podcast, and Pardcast.com. You got a lot of internet real estate going on, Jimmy.
You know, and can I jump? I actually have at Jimmy Pardo now. I started tweeting about 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I
wow.
joined in. I finally officially
Why
joined
so soon?
In. Listen, I think this thing's taken off, this Twitter. I was the guy who was so outspoken about how I was like, this Twitter's ridiculous. I don't know why people are interested. And the second I did, I was like, hey, this is fun.
There were a lot of people with you, by the way, who felt that. Our own Ralph Garman used to do nothing but make fun of Twitter. Now he's got hundreds of thousands of fans and interactions on it.
So well, I wish I had that many. I've only got about 6,000. It's brand new to me.
Oh, you will. You will. Jimmy and I are going to be best friends. I've just decided, Jimmy.
Oh.
Let's be pals.
Wait a minute. You don't have any best friends.
I know, but Jimmy, well, I love this guy.
I'm filling a void.
We have a lot in common. You are filling a void. And I want to talk about the amazing connection that I made last night when I was listening to the stolen parts of your CD at iTunes, the sample parts of your new comedy CD, which is called Sprezzatura. Is that right?
Sprezzatura.
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 Good title, first of all.
why are you
the guy who
that
knows
title?
How to sell? I don't know what that means.
Right.
Okay.
Sprezzatura is a it's an Italian word.
Right.
That the loose translation is rehearsed to look improvised.
Oh.
And so it's basically it's a great way to describe my act.
It's
like,
so it's for smart people.
Yes, I'm a sharp comic.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, we don't like your type
sorry.
Of my audience.
I know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I would be
a bad audience for you.
You would get the written show. You wouldn't get the improvised show.
So I'm on iTunes and I'm looking at Jimmy's comedy act up there, and I'm debating whether it's worth my $9.99, whether I should hit the button.
What are you debating?
What a cheap bastard. The trigger. You listen to clips. You love Jimmy Pardo.
Yes, I do.
You just said you're going to be best friends with him.
Yes, I do.
And yet you're still wondering whether to let the $9.99 go.
Mm. Decide whether I want to pull that trigger or not. So I'm looking at the
house.
I'm looking at the track listing, and I go, the first track is called Street Player, and then there's another track called Mama Take, and another track called Must Have Been Crazy. And I'm thinking, why is this rattling around in my brain? Why do all these titles seem like they're from Chicago 13?
Yep.
What's that?
And then I thought,
oh, the album?
These are the song titles from the band Chicago's album Chicago 13, which was the mm-hmm. big one with the fingerprint on the album.
No, that's 14. 13 is the one with the city on the front.
Don't be ridiculous, Bean.
So, yeah, you're right.
The city.
Well, which one was Hot Streets? That was 12. Okay, all right. Yeah. So Chicago 13, the one with the Chicago skyline on. And I'm thinking, why is Jimmy Pardo naming his comedy tracks after Chicago songs from an album from 25 years ago? And the titles have nothing to do with what the bit's about.
Mm-mm.
And that's when you decided to click on buy.
That's when I decided, I can't wait to ask Jimmy Pardo what the hell's going on in his little brain.
Here's what happened.
Tell me.
It doesn't matter what this, whatever you name the track of your, of a comedy bit, it's like you're either giving it away or it has nothing to do with it. Who cares? Shopping. And then there's a 7-minute bit about maybe one joke's about shopping, or you give away the punchline.
Right.
So I love Chicago. I wanted to pay homage to this, my favorite band of all time. And
hold on.
Yes?
Hold on.
Here we go. We got trouble here.
Hold on.
Okay.
Chicago.
Yes.
Is your favorite band of all time?
Yes, of all time.
Chicago.
Yes.
Here we go.
I'm not saying every song is great. That would be ridiculous. Even your favorite band, you don't love every song. But yes, they have a lot of albums.
Now, Jimmy, hold on. I'm with you, and I like the band very much. You're from the Midwest. Is that how you pronounce the Beatles?
What?
Chicago? How you pronounce the Beatles? Is that what you mean?
I'm going to tell you something. That's a Jimmy Pardo written joke right there.
Yeah.
That now I understand why people hate me.
Right.
That was a long way to go for that. That was beautiful.
That was a long slide for an out.
That was, yes, it's true. I grew up in the south side of Chicago, and yes, whenever we, I Want to Hold Your Hand, that great song by Chicago, right?
That's right.
See, but I'll play along with this bit.
How did they end up being your favorite? I mean, I guess that's a silly question because they just were. They were on the radio a lot when you were growing up.
But who else was on the radio a lot when he was growing up?
Like, everybody was.
Right, that's
Rolling
what I'm
Stones,
saying.
The Who, Led Zeppelin.
Okay, so you had all those choices.
I grew up, my dad loved Chicago. I grew up listening to them. My first concert was Kiss, of course, because my age group, that's illegally what you have to see. Okay. And then I went to see Chicago in 1981.
And you were like, wow, these guys suck compared to Kiss.
No, God,
what's happening?
How dare you? I went with my buddy Gary, and we sat in the front row at Chicago Fest, and I just was like, man, this band's amazing. Which you may say about any band if you're in the front row.
Probably.
And that was it. From that day on, I was I'm the biggest Chicago fan.
Now that you are a
You're talking about the city.
Now
I like the band more
superstar.
Than Chicago. Yes.
Are you friends with them?
Am I friends with the band Chicago? I know them. I'm lucky enough, I was asked by the filmmaker to be part of their new documentary, The History of Chicago. They're doing sort of like that History of the Eagles thing that came out a couple of years ago.
Right.
They're doing a version on Chicago, and they asked me to be a part of it. And very honored and to have been asked.
Did you see him on the Grammys?
I did.
It was terrible. What did
you think of that?
Listen, your negativity this morning.
Hold on. It was terrible, but Robin Thicke was worse.
I thought Chicago was fine. I thought they were very good, if not even bordering on great.
Okay.
I thought, and by the way, I'm a Robin Thicke fan. I'm not a guy that's mad at that guy.
Okay.
I think his father opened up some doors for some great acting in this town, and I think Robin is terrific as well. But I do like Robin, and I like that song, Blurred Lines. My problem was Robin didn't know how to be a team player.
Yeah, he was right in front of the lead singer.
He's right in front of the lead singer, and he's singing over him every single time. Like,
That's what I was thinking.
Ska,
dude, this
is a hype man. You know what I mean? It was like he just didn't know. So it was like, here's this guy that I like and a song that I like and my favorite band of all time, and they just can't get in the same groove.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah.
I was confused by it, though, because it's not like it was a tribute to Chicago, like they were being honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award or celebrating their 50th anniversary or anything like that. It was so random to drop them into the middle of the show and put them together with Robin Thicke, which doesn't, at least in my mind, I didn't see any connection as to why those two would be together. Like later in the show when you had Sarah Bareilles and Carole King, I mean, that's kind of an obvious tie-in.
Yeah.
What were they trying to do with Robin Thicke and Chicago together?
Make them both relevant? I don't know. I'll tell you what. I think Blurred Lines backed by Chicago would have been amazing if it was just that. I think that could have been amazing with the horns doing the, you know, the synth.
It was
part.
Weird that they sort of went through some of their biggest hits.
Yeah.
In a janky medley, right,
which they should call it. And, And then
I think that's what they call it live. Yeah. All right, now it's time for the janky medley. By the way, those are all three Robert Lamb written songs, and it was great to hear those
three. You don't
three.
Have to tell me.
You know, because they usually do Hard to Say I'm Sorry or The Inspiration. It was great that they were the three Saturday in the Park beginnings, and doesn't even know what time it is.
You Jim are your best friend.
Yeah.
Really, seriously. Did you ever play an instrument growing up?
No, I have a guitar in my closet.
Close enough.
That's it. I've owned so many guitars over the years, and
have you ever? You don't sit down and try to learn how to play it. Just it's there.
The second I buy it, I sit down. I go, let's do this thing, and then I commit for about a day and a half.
Yeah.
And then my tiny little ladylike fingers don't hit the frets, and it
and
frustrates me.
Sore.
And then and whenever I say it, it's like my hands aren't big enough, and they go, you know, little girls play guitar. Like, all right, fair enough. I just can't do it. My son can play guitar better than I can, and he's six.
This is the voice of Jimmy Pardo here on the Kevin Bean Show, the comedian and podcaster at Never Not Funny. You know, you talked about what a thrill it was to be asked to be in that documentary. With all the stuff you've been able to do throughout your long career and all the work you've done on the Conan show, what's been – give me a couple of examples of the, wow, I can't believe this is happening to me moment. I'm the luckiest little boy in the world.
You know, there were the three that happened like in the last year, the phone call when and we talked about it before, when I threw out the first pitch at the White Sox game.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That fantastic first pitch.
That's
immortalized
shots.
In a photo.
Getting the phone call to fill in for Andy Richter for a couple of shows last summer.
Nice.
And then getting the call to be part of the Chicago documentary. It's like those are the things. Well, growing up, wanting to host a talk show, here I am co-hosting. Great. I wanted to play baseball. Here I am throwing out the first pitch. And Chicago's okay. My favorite band. And here I am now part of I'm going to be in the film talking about them with them. It was just those are the three things. Oh, and then, you know, my wife and son.
So you're a guy who's able to adjust the reality of your situation and make it seem like you've accomplished something.
Wow, that was a way to spin that.
That was a hurtful for a best friend.
I guess our best friendship's over. Right? That was
you're a guy who's able to adjust your expectations to meet your reality.
Yeah, you know, it's like the old Robert Clyde bit where you get the fortune cookie or you read your horoscope and it's like, today's a good day to ask for a raise. Yeah, man, if I had a job today, I'd ask for a raise.
All right, we're almost out of time here, Jimmy. You mentioned that the show is now free on earwolf.com, and you're doing it twice a week.
Twice a week. Well, once a week free, twice you get the second one if you subscribe to the Players Club.
Okay, there you go. Nice.
And the card.
And you get that card. Let's not forget that card. Right. Yeah.
Who's your can't-wait, must-get guest for 2014? Somebody that you've already got your people reaching out to that's going to be a great show when you finally nail that person.
Oh, Tom Hanks. When Tom Hanks comes on, that's going to be the greatest.
Now, is that going to happen?
It is now that I said it on live radio.
All right.
He can't say no now. He and Larry David have to say yes now. This is a contract.
Is that how it works?
Isn't it?
They're legally bound.
You guys know that? Isn't that how you got Black Sabbath?
Well, Jimmy, I'm glad that we're best friends. I'm glad that we made that leap today.
Yes.
I appreciate you coming in. Congratulations on earwolf.com. It's always a pleasure to see you, my friend. Thank you for the time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Vampire Weekend on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:53.
They stopped by here on the Kevin and Bean Show earlier in the week. You can see the video at krock.com. While you're there, you can check out Miss Double December Brittany and see the outfit that she was basically sent home and told to change because it was inappropriate for work at the bank.
That's un-American right there. Yeah, tell Lisa. She agreed with the bank.
Well, I've worked in a bank, and
you're a whore.
I didn't say that. I just
said that on the radio.
She practically made Brittany cry yesterday, Lisa. Dressed to go out to a club and then threw a sweater on.
Right, so she should get a bonus.
You can also see Beer Mug's interviews from the Grammy Roundtable. All of that and so much more available at KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com. Hey, Ralph, you're going to be very excited to know right after the top of the hour, we're going to be talking to a guy who's trying to crowdsource to raise money to help Olympic athletes.
Good. Great.
Because you love the Olympics and you love Olympic athletes.
Let's just give them a free ride. Let's just give them everything and ask nothing of them.
That is coming up. Plus, our friend Penn Jillette next hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat.
Last night it happened. The event we've all been waiting for. Miley Cyrus unplugged.
Oh. Yeah! How could I miss that?
I can sense she's been plugged so often in recent times, and it's nice to see her unplugged for a change.
She actually, I didn't see it.
Sadly, because it's MTV, Kevin, it only will air once.
That's true. They MTV do. They're very precious with their programming.
They do not like to repeat their programming. So if you didn't see last night, odds are you will never see this special.
Or they're still airing episodes of Jackass every single night.
Or that. Yeah, you'll get your chance if you've missed it last night. But it did debut last night. And Miley was, it was all cowboy hats and bales of hay. It was very country. It was very odd. She was doing countrified versions of her songs off her pop album and stuff. It was strange, and it got weirder when Madonna showed up in a cowboy hat.
No, you're thinking about the Grammys.
No, also this.
Oh, it was this,
yeah,
too?
Showed up, and they did a duet of Madonna's hit, Don't Tell Me, and then Miley's We Can't Stop. They did that as a duet, and it was... A lot of tongues were coming out, and a lot of slapping their own asses and stuff, and it was just just a train wreck, just a nightmare.
Sounds great.
It looked like the world's most pathetic stripper, and then like her embarrassing grandma who showed up at the strip club and got up on stage with her. It was just a big boner killer every which way you looked at
Good
it.
Good times. But,
yeah, you can check that out. Speaking of Madonna, Billy Joel took a shot at her from the stage of Madison Square Garden.
Was it about the hat?
It was, about her talent, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He started his concert residency there at Madison Square Garden. You know, he's going to be doing monthly shows there until they stop selling tickets for it.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, but it's kind of cool, too.
Because isn't that like a 20,000-seat venue?
Yeah, and he's sold out through April, I think.
Wow.
So far. He lives in Long Island, so it's not a big deal for him. He comes over once a month and does a show there, and people are going in droves.
Wow.
His first one was Monday night, and he told the crowd while he was performing that he needed to take a break and spray something in his throat for the next song called The Entertainer's Secret. And I think you use that, Kevin. Something like that. Throat coat or something like that. There's a bunch of different kinds of them. And he said he got the idea because he saw Madonna use it once. And then he said it didn't help her much.
Oh, wow.
And apparently the crowd went crazy. So Billy's still taking shots from the stage. God bless him. More music news. Now that Motley Crue has announced their retirement, sadly, we're going to get more attention on Motley Crue than ever before for the next year. A record label has just announced its brilliant idea for a tribute album. Motley Crue tribute album, Big Machine Records, has announced they are bringing together country music's biggest stars.
All right.
To sing Motley Crue's biggest hits. So far on the lineup, Leanne Rimes, Florida Georgia Line, Cassidy Pope, and they're trying to get Taylor Swift to contribute as well. They want to see...
That's her label.
Country's biggest stars singing Motley Crue.
How can Leanne Rimes sing a Motley Crue song? Can you even picture that?
I think I can see her singing that.
I can too. Sure.
Girls, 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 raising hell at the Savings Vale.
Come on. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be terrible.
Yes. Oh, that's what I meant. Terrible. Yeah.
Shut up! What I'm talking to you! Shut up! What I'm talking to you! Shut up!
Speaking of terrible. Justin Bieber in trouble in Toronto. This is good news for all of us. Look, if they can bust him in Toronto and keep him there and put him in jail, problems are solved. Don't have to worry about deporting him.
That's true.
He'll be serving time in Toronto, Ontario. Apparently, he is charged with assault. All of this stems from an altercation that happened in December when he was attending a Toronto Maple Leafs game. And does it bother anyone else that it's not the Toronto Maple Leaves?
I've never understood that, Ralph.
That it's the Leafs?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a ridiculous thing.
I don't know.
Leafs isn't a word. The plural of leaf is not leafs.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It just strikes. It hits my ear every time someone says the name of that team. It strikes. Huh. It just hits my ear. It strikes me as odd.
Me too. I don't understand how it happened. It's the only instance in the world where the plural of leaf is not leaves.
It's nuts.
Well, I'm guessing you guys are going to have to get past it.
I don't think just get over it.
I was saying, just get over it. Let it go. Let it go. Let's move on.
I'm guessing that's what the argument was about between Justin Bieber and his limo driver. They're probably arguing about that very same
fact. That's probably true.
But it might be best if you just let it go, okay?
Just let it go.
Just let it go.
Apparently it dissolved into a slap fest between the driver and Bieber. And then police investigated, and then they had him go downtown there, and they booked him for assault. Here's the great thing I love about the Canadians. They're so nice. He was booked for assault, and he was given a citation and sent home. You're bad. Now go home, eh? Think about what you did, eh? Really bad behavior on your part. We'll have to wait and see what he's charged with and how severely and what the penalty could be. But good news that he was arrested in Toronto. I was glad to hear that.
I like
Stop
it.
Slapping limo drivers, eh? Really wrong. What's with that Leafs, by the way? Today's celebrity birthdays. Gene Hackman. I've been talking about him all morning. I just tweeted out my top five Gene Hackman movies of all time because people were asking about the conversation we talked about last hour. And he's really one of my favorite actors, and I'm bummed that he has retired. But he left behind a great body of work. And also, welcome to Mooseport. But look, what are you going to do? What? Not everyone can be a gem. He's 84 years old today. Vanessa Redgrave is 77. Phil Collins, the musician, is 63. We have a little of Phil. Did we get a change? Power, the majesty, the emotion. You don't get it, man.
I get it.
He's 63. Charles S. Dutton is also 63. Christian Bale's 40 years old today. Andy Milonakis is 38. Wilmer Valderrama turns 34. And rapper actor Kid Cudi is 30. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Penn Jillette joins us later this hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. And tomorrow, Kevin, you're going to be very excited. You're Dance or Die. That's you, right?
Dance or Die. That's my motto.
That's your motto. That's the tattoo you got across your chest. Yep. Right? I've got Thug Life, and you've got Dance or Die.
Dance or Die.
Dada Life is going to be in studio with us tomorrow morning on the 9 o'clock hour. How about that?
Wow. Love that.
Swedish DJ's Cousin Sal will be on with his prediction for the Super Bowl. Also, the referee from the Puppy Bowl is going to be on tomorrow.
Oh,
you're excited
you.
About that. And Ralph has the movie beat because it's Friday. First, though, Lisa May, I know you were very intrigued by an interview you heard on NPR the other day about the plight of the Olympic athletes in this country who can barely afford to compete, right?
It was shocking to hear. I mean, I do know that they all have to spend most of their time training, but then to hear the side jobs that they were doing to try to make money, and a lot of them don't get enough sponsorship to actually even just pay for their equipment.
The U.S. Olympic team doesn't give each of them something?
Apparently not.
All right.
Well, we got a guy on the phone who can bring us up to speed with this problem and what he's doing about it. Bill Kierig joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the CEO and founder of RallyMe.com. RallyMe.com. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Our pleasure. So is it as bad as all that? Are our athletes out there panhandling when they're not competing and trying to win gold medals?
Well, they were before we came along. but yeah, I mean, the cost per athlete to get to the Olympics, you're probably, depending on your sport, you're looking at like 85 to 250 grand per year per athlete, and most of those athletes have had to shell that out for a decade to get to the level of competing in the Olympics.
How do they have that much?
Where does that money come?
Money.
I mean, where does it go, all that money?
Okay, so where does it go first? It goes to travel, training, and equipment, basically, right?
Yeah.
So travel, you're looking at 150 to 200 days per year per athlete. That's as much as like a public company CEO travels.
Okay.
Then you've got training. Now, training is where most of the national governing bodies put their money, right? So, like, the U.S. ski team will raise money to pay for its athletes, or USA bobsled is a national governing body. So they put their money into things that you can't really buy on the open market. Like, you can't go out and buy a bobsled track to train on if you're an individual athlete. So they pay for that part. But then, like, equipment, like a bobsled is $6,000, right?
And they have to buy it themselves?
And they have to buy it themselves, yeah.
That's really kind of shocking.
What kind of a second-rate country are we?
Well,
Bill,
Kevin's
question actually dovetails nicely to what I was going to ask. Is, are we alone in the United States with the way we treat our athletes compared to other countries around the world?
Well, there's a lot of countries around the world, so I can't speak with authority about every one of them. But the serious countries who will be represented at Sochi, America's unique in that we do not, our government does not fund our athletes. We rely on the passion and the generosity of the American people and American businesses.
Okay, gotcha. Give me some examples of the types of jobs that people who we will see on our TV beam from Sochi, Russia next week. We'll see them in our living rooms, but what were they doing 3 weeks ago? What kinds of regular day jobs do they have to just try to get by and put food on their table?
Yeah, well, for example, one of the women ski jumpers who will be at the Olympics was 3 weeks ago a hostess at a restaurant during the Sundance Film Festival. And then you're going to see her at Sochi. You know, maybe 5% of the Olympians that you see on your TV competing from Sochi are making a ton of money.
Because, you know, like Sean White is. You know, Sean White is one of those guys. He's got a lot of sponsors.
Anyone on the hockey team is doing fine.
Sure.
Yeah, they're playing in the NHL. Sean White is rocking it. Lindsey Vonn is doing great. But, okay, so here's an example. Lindsey Vonn, many millions of dollars a year, and she's well worth it, and she's doing great. Lindsey Vonn is a ski jumper. She's also a world champion, also a pioneer in her sport, also one of the winningest athletes in her sport. She, until she went off to Sochi, $10 an hour as an assistant physical therapist at a physical therapy clinic in Park City, Utah.
Well, you can't live on that.
That is really hard to. That's really hard to believe. This is the voice of Bill Carrig here on the Kevin Amin Show. We're talking about his site that you founded, Bill, called RallyMe.com. And is the point as simple as you just want to give people the opportunity to contribute to help these Olympians?
Yeah, I mean, I founded the site not just for Olympians. That's what we're talking about now because they're getting a lot of attention, and we've had about 100 Olympic hopefuls on the site. And by the time all the teams are named, we'll probably have about 40 Olympians at Sochi who raise money on Rally Me. But I found the site for every athlete out there who needs to raise money, every team. You know, when I was a kid, I sold candy bars door to door to pay for my hockey team in the Boston area.
Right.
You know, and that was in the 70s. They're still doing the same thing. Yeah. We got the internet, people. Let's use the internet. So
but at least in the 70s, somebody would open a door for a kid standing on the porch with chocolate bars. I don't know that the door would even get open, or they'd get shot at if you tried it today.
No doubt. My parents used to send me, like, they'd drop me off in the town next door
and
come pick me up, you know? Like,
yeah, your parents didn't love you.
No, it was a different time.
Tell you that,
Bill. It's a lot safer back then.
So, Bill, what's the response been for people who, you know, they admire an athlete or are fans of a particular sport? Are a lot of these people getting the money you hoped they would when you set this up?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been thrilled. I've been thrilled by the level of athlete we're getting on Rally Me. You know, we had two young ski racing brothers, the Duffy brothers out of Stowe, Vermont, who both made the ski team at the same time. Their parents, dad sells hardwood floors in Vermont. All of a sudden, they're looking at $50,000 for those two kids to ski race. On top of whatever it costs for their apartment, gas in the car, food on the table, they got on Rally Me, tried to raise $50,000, and they raised $52,000. Those two kids are ski racing now because Rally Me came along.
All right.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
That's great. I am going to pretend to be an Olympic athlete. That is my takeaway. I just see nothing but cash in my future. All right, Bill, we are urging our listeners to check it out. RallyMe.com is where you want to go if you want to be part of Team USA on the money side. We appreciate your time today, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you, guys.
You bet. I'm very disturbed by this new trend in 2014 of too many stories getting to the air that I have a strong no feeling about. Like your My Strange Addiction about the woman who sucks on diapers. Like,
yeah,
I didn't want to have any part of that story.
That was ugly. That was ugly.
Dave's guy who was born with no butt crack. I didn't want to know about that. I mean, there are just some things
that
I,
I see the headline and I go, I'm not interested in any more details. I don't want to know about that story, but somehow you insist on putting them on the air.
Well, this is a good one, though. I think you'll enjoy it.
I will not enjoy it. Look, I saw the headline. Jury told off, rather, for laughing at man accused of cow and sheep sex acts. I don't want to know any more information about that. That's horrible.
What if the dude was 61?
What difference does it make if he's 61 or 21?
It just makes
if
it
he's
more
having
pathetic.
Sex with if he's having sex nope. with livestock, nope. I'm out.
Yeah, but you don't understand. He's not having sex with him. He's trying to have sex with him, and they're turning him down.
Thank God.
He apparently was ready to have an oral conversation with a cow. And the cow said...
Wait, who was talking to who? The cow was talking to him or he was talking to the cow?
He was talking to the cow.
Okay.
And he prepared himself. Apparently a couple nearby caught it on, took pictures with their mm-hmm. phone. Mm-hmm. And the cow said, no thanks. So then he went over and tried another animal.
Oh, see.
So I'm just saying we should talk to him.
That's I know that you're... What, the guy's on the phone?
Paul Lovell... Yes, Paul Lovell. That's his name.
Oh, dear God. Where did this story happen? Where are we calling?
In England.
In England. All right. Mr. Lovell, are you there, sir?
Hello. How are you doing?
We're good.
Well,
glad to hear it.
Better than you.
On your show.
All right. Well, thanks for the time, I guess. Is my colleague and friend, K-Rex Kevin, explaining the story accurately? Is that what happened to you with the cow and the sheep?
Yeah, hold a second. Hey, how's it going? Yeah, good to see you.
Wait.
I'm sorry if you can hear me. I'm in a singles bar right now. It's
maybe
hard for you to hear me.
It's funny. It sounds like cattle.
Yeah. Same
You're
thing.
In a barnyard.
Same thing.
Not the same thing, really.
Well, you say potato, I say potato. All right?
Right. But you understand they're animals. They're not sexual partners. They
Excuse
should
me,
never be.
Hello there. Can I buy you some alfalfa? Suck up, bitch.
Didn't you? Wait a second. Didn't you learn your lesson?
She
haven't
turned
you?
Away from me. She's right. Ignored me.
But haven't you already been caught and arrested and tried for having sex with animals? Why are you still doing it?
Listen, first of all, that cow in question.
Right.
She led me on.
She didn't lead you on. She's
a
cow.
I'm there in the field by myself, minding my own business. And then the cow comes up going, making all that noise in her face with the chewing of the cud and whatnot. I'm like, oh, right, she's coming on to me then, isn't she?
There was a...
I'm just a man.
There was a couple...
She's just a cow. This, you know, stranger things have happened.
No.
I'm taking her lead, so to speak.
There was a couple nearby that said that you were over a long way from said cow and took off your pants and then went up and made propositioned the cow.
Well, listen, first of all, that couple that was trying to watch my private lovemaking, they are perverts, those two right there. Freaking perverts trying to watch me and my lady friend getting it on.
You didn't have a lady friend.
It was a female cow.
Okay. Yeah, but those people, they did the right thing. They were collecting evidence so that you could be arrested and prosecuted for this.
Oh,
it's bestiality. It's against the law, and it's wrong.
Oh, I understand. So now suddenly it's wrong to have sex with animals, is it?
Yes! That's our point.
But what if the cow starts it? That's what I'm
the
asking.
The cow didn't start it.
It did. Came up and went...
Cows.
I'm like, all right, so we know I get the idea. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, how's your father?
That's
yeah,
what
I
do.
Bob's your uncle. So every day I drop my shorts, and I think, oh, here we go, game on, you know? And then next thing, oh, never mind, I changed my mind. She walks away. How dare she leave me on like that?
Look, cows or any animal cannot give consent. They're just being cows. That's all they're doing. The rest of it was in your mind.
Okay, so I guess she wasn't nodding up and down when she was looking at me. I guess she was nodding up and swinging her tail, swishing those flies away, all seductive-like.
That's not nothing. Seductive.
Look at my back end. Look at me sway back and forth. Look what I can do with my back end. I can hit flies with it. Aren't I talented, big boy? But, wink, wink.
But didn't you realize when the cow turned and walked away that the cow was not... sending you all those messages.
Well, I realized she was a tease. That's what she was. And that's why I knew the sheep was a better bet for me.
And this is where it even gets worse, because it sounds like contact was made between you and the sheep.
I say it was. Yes, indeedy. Look, you know, everyone's got their type. I'm not usually a sheep man.
Well,
but this sheep had a great personality. Sure, she was a little bit on the heavy side, a little fluffy.
Right.
But you make allowances, don't you? Because, you know, she seemed to be very sweet. And, Paul, you know, and after being hurt and my heart broken by the cow, I turned to the sheep for consolation, didn't I?
Yeah, it was a rebound relationship.
Exactly, I was on the rebound, and the sheep was there for me when no one else was. She was a shoulder to cry on.
This is an ugly, ugly story.
Thank you, Kevin, for bringing this into our lives. What about
some wool to rub on, if you will?
What about ladies? What about women? What about human beings?
Have sex with other human beings?
Yes!
What kind of pervert are you?
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:37.
Are we prepared to feel dumb again, Kevin, like we do every time we have our next guest on?
Yeah, I get used to it. You don't, because it doesn't happen to you quite as often.
Although, he leaves me behind a lot of the time, but we love Penn Jillette. He, of course, the best-selling author and talk show host and one of the most famous musicians in the world and a hell of a nice guy. Penn Jillette, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I've never been better, boss. How are you?
Well, we had a discussion a few days ago. Our producer, Dave, said, hey, Penn Jillette can come on. He's got this project. And we said, oh, we'll take Penn. Whatever he's talking about, we're in. And then he told us what it was, and we thought, what? But because we love you, we still want you to tell us about Tim's Vermeer, which sounds like something completely different.
Okay. I'll tell it to you very simply.
Now, Penn, now, just so you know, we've watched the trailer as well.
Okay, good.
And we're still not sure.
I have a friend, Tim Jennison, who's the guy who invented, like, the video toaster and Lightwave and has won all these Emmys and stuff for special effects and video. And he came to me over dinner when we were in, for no intention to make a movie, but just talking to a friend, and said that the 17th century painter Vermeer, who does these beautiful realistic paintings, might have been using a machine to do it, and that perhaps somebody who didn't know how to paint could actually paint a Vermeer. And I said, oh, that's fascinating. And he said, and I'm going to tear down a wall of my warehouse in San Antonio, build an exact replica of Vermeer's room by myself, grind the lenses, make paint from scratch with materials that are illegal now because they're so poisonous, to be exactly like the 17th century, that I am going to, using 17th century technology, paint a Vermeer, even though I have never touched oil paints before.
Okay, now here's where you and I differ, because I would say, all right, good luck with that. And that would be the end of it.
You know, that's true. And the thing is, so would Tim. Because I said to Tim, what are you going to do with this? And he said, I'm thinking it's a couple of papers in art magazines and then maybe a YouTube video of 5 minutes. And I said, no, I think it's a feature film, Tim.
Okay, but Ped, here's what I don't understand. This painter Vermeer, a Dutch master, right, from 500 years ago, our audience may know him from The Girl with the Pearl Earring. A movie was made with that title with Scarlett Johansson. All right. He's considered a great painter.
Great.
How are we suggesting that he was so good a painter that he might not have been able to paint at all? That's a weird leap to make.
Isn't that great? Well, first of all, not just a great painter, but probably the greatest painter that ever lived. And one of the reasons he's that great a painter is there's stuff in there that the human eye can't see. In other words, if you measure parts of Vermeer with a light meter, he's actually more accurate than our eye could actually be.
Wow.
So it looks a little more like photographs. So Tim is not the one who discovered that. Many, many scholars have said, which I love, we think he's using something. And you say to them, well, what? And they go, something.
But if there were a machine, you're suggesting, and we're just speculating now, you're suggesting that he kept that private and it was not known in the art community at the time that he had a secret?
It may have. There are other painters that probably use the device. Now, the important part of this is that we're not taking away from Vermeer's talent at all. He still laid it out. He still did all the work. It's actually more work to paint this way than it is to paint freehand. It takes more time. It's more tedious. It kills you. But the result looks like this.
But did they have the type of machinery that it would take?
The machinery required is a mirror. But it's a mirror, several mirrors placed properly. And we show that in detail in the movie and show Tim going through this. It was a 5-year process that includes him, you know, building the harpsichord, building the chair that are in the room. You know, this is a person who is very, very set on testing this theory. And, of course, Tim, I want to talk about the humility of Tim. He never says in life or in the movie even once, this is the way Vermeer did it. He says this is an experiment to see if Vermeer might have been able to do it with something like this. But you see the final painting, and I'll tell you, it looks a lot like a Vermeer, and the cat never did an oil painting before.
Wait, there's a cat
that paints now?
Is your friend Tim, does he have Asperger's or some sort of other thing that allowed him to have this kind of commitment to accuracy and detail over 5 years?
That's a good question.
Well, the great thing is that's the perfect 21st century American question. No, some people really just like to work.
But I'm so surprised.
That's different from starting something like this and then following through for 5 years without losing interest. That seems...
Well, Tim does say over and over again, he says it once or twice in the movie, and he says it all the time, that if I had not put 9 cameras around him, shooting him every second of the painting, he would have quit.
Wow.
He had a conversation, you know, Teller directed it, and he had this great conversation where Tim said, after he hit a really hard time and Tim was really at the end of his rope, Teller said to Tim, well, you know, if you don't finish this painting, it's going to be a very different movie. And Tim laughed and said, well, if I don't finish the painting, there won't be a movie. And there was a long pause, and Teller said, oh, yes, there will.
That's commitment. This is the voice of our friend Penn Jillette here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the film from Sony Classics called Tim's Vermeer. By the way, you get a chance to see it and be part of a Q&A with Penn and Teller. It's going to be tomorrow night at the Arclight in Hollywood at 7:15. Tomorrow night, 7:15, Penn and Teller and the film Tim's Vermeer. Penn, you've got one of the greatest minds of anyone I know in person. You're a great critical thinker. I've read all your books. You've seen the work that your friend Tim put into this movie. Is your conclusion that this is how Vermeer made the painting?
We can't time travel. So you anyone who would say something like that, that would be insane and that would be credulous. But it certainly seems like Vermeer could have painted all his paintings using Tim's device, which is a really strong statement, but as strong as we could ever make, you understand.
Remarkable. For those of us who can't be at the Arclight tomorrow night, how else are we going to be able to see this film?
It opens at the Arclight, you know, for weeks starting Friday. You know, we won't be at the Q&As every show, but it's playing. And it's playing around the country. It starts, you know, it's a documentary. It's an art film. So it opens here and there, like it opens in Vegas in March, and it'll be opening around the world as it goes. But the reviews have been overwhelmingly positive, which is surprising because, you know, they all mention we never thought watching paint dry could be this interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's a fascinating documentary. Again, it is called Tim's Vermeer, tomorrow night, Arclight Hollywood, with the Q&A with Penn and Teller. Penn, great to have you on, man. Good to talk to you.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
I'm not done with my mouth. I'm still eating.
Ralph is here.
Just let it go.
No, he's here to do the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday morning. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to someone from Hulu about what's all the talk on Super Bowl commercials. Lisa, you're going to finally be interested in the Super Bowl. We're going to talk Super Bowl commercials coming up right after the top of the hour.
Awesome.
As far as I'm concerned, it's already been won for this year with the Budweiser spot with the little dog and the horse.
Sorry, won, you mean by best. The Full House reunion. That's what you mean.
He didn't have a puppy, though.
You with the puppies.
And the horse, it was so cute.
There's nothing better than puppies. Ralph, come on.
Oh, my God. Justin Bieber.
Guilty.
Well, it may be. His toxicology report is back.
Ah.
The report from his DUI arrest in Miami Beach is in and shows he tested positive for marijuana and prescription medication.
Yay!
Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, he wasn't that drunk. His booze level was not very high. He'll get off on this. How about driving stoned and with a fistful of Xanax in his belly? How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Does show that he was driving under the influence of THC and... Alprazolam.
Which one is that?
What do we know that as? The generic Xanax. It's the key ingredient in Xanax, prescription anti-anxiety medication.
How anxious was he? He's weed and Xanax.
How much more mellow could he be?
Yeah.
I think half of the people listening to this show right now have weed and Xanax in their system.
I know I do.
Well, then let's. I'm just saying that's not uncommon.
Let's just forget all the laws. Then, Bean, let's just run around like animals. Forget about civilization. It's all just pick up spears and Lord of the Flies time.
No, we should crack down on Bieber, though.
I totally agree. Look, I'm not in any way defending Justin Bieber.
Yes, I'm just
saying this isn't cocaine and heroin. It's weed and Xanax. That's all I'm saying is let's keep it in perspective.
He did test negative for cocaine, opiates, meth, and other drugs. And Bean thinks everyone should drive while they smoke pot and do Xanax.
That's what Bean is saying.
He's supporting driving high and on prescription
Xanax.
Do you disagree
with me that many of our listeners
stance, but he's
are doing that every day, though?
They may, but I doubt their father is blocking off a residential street so they can drive their Lamborghini down it.
I totally agree.
So all things combined, I think maybe there should be some justice dealt.
I absolutely agree. And I hope for the electric chair. That's my hope.
You don't.
Televised.
You love him. I wish he was the Justin we all fell in love with.
He did say that.
And Super Bowl, of course, coming up this weekend. Big, 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 big game. I am so Team Manning. You know, I definitely want the Broncos to win.
Me too.
I would like to see Peyton.
Yeah, thanks, you guys.
Appreciate the
support.
Get his just desserts.
Thanks, guys.
Well, are you playing?
No, but I'm saying it'd be nice, a little support for me, for my at least still having a team in the game. That's all.
Right. Like it wouldn't be reason for me to root against Seattle.
Just saying.
I think you're on marijuana and Xanax.
I'm on the not bean side, whatever it is.
That's right. They're playing the Berlin Nazis in the Super Bowl. I'd have to go, well, you know, that Hitler is a pretty good quarterback.
If it were Arizona playing a team I didn't care about, I would root for Arizona because they're Kevin's team, because somebody on the show has a team in the game. I would root for the Eagles if they were playing against the team I didn't care about. Absolutely, I would.
You revel nothing more than the next day coming in and saying, oh, what happened to your team? Oh, that didn't look good. Oh, that's going to be sad.
When my team is still in, yes, it's fun to see other teams lose. But when that's all that's left, I'm just saying, I would be rooting for you guys.
That's bullshit.
I'm saying I may have to reevaluate because the Seahawks have a big plus on their side that I hadn't thought of.
Oh. What's that?
Porn star Savannah Sampson.
Yay!
Kids love her. Has announced that she is a huge Seattle Seahawks fan.
Okay.
And she would like to take on the entire defensive line of the Seahawks at the same time.
Okay.
Talk about the 12th man and the 13th man and the 14th man. She of course, is a star of such classics as Ass Spelunking and Sweet Ho Alabama. She was asked by TMZ Sports who she's rooting for, and she said she loves the Seahawks and desperately would like to shoot a scene involving their legendary Legion of Boom defense. So, she's got that going for her.
Go Buffalo.
Something, and even win-lose, Seattle's, you know, got something waiting for him at the end of the rainbow. You know
what I'm saying? Airtight.
I'm just saying. Good for those guys.
Go Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo's not even playing, Rodney.
He's confused.
It makes sense.
Kim Kardashian. Poor Kim Kardashian. She may never make it on the cover of Vogue magazine.
Is she not already on it?
No.
Huh.
And sources tell RadarOnline.com that Kanye West is furious with his friend editor Anna Wintour because she has not yet put Kim Kardashian on the cover of her magazine.
Didn't she also block her from a party or a fashion show?
She let her in the last one, the Met Ball in New York. They had that big fashion event.
Yeah.
She let her in this past one. That's when she was pregnant and dressed like a couch, remember?
Mm-hmm.
They let her
go. Oh, right.
But the year before, she did block her from attending. She would not let Kanye bring her.
Okay.
Ralph, I'm sorry. We're talking about Vogue magazine, right?
Yes.
Okay. Imagine how much it kills Kanye that Lena Dunham is on the cover of Vogue and Kim Kardashian isn't, because it's not like the defense is, well, we ought to use supermodels.
That's the second half of the story. He's furious because he did see that cover with Lena Dunham from Girls. And he's insulted that Kim is not on the cover when Lena Dunham is. I would think the difference is that Lena Dunham has done something.
She has talent.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has created something.
Yeah.
Which makes her newsworthy and cover-worthy.
Well, there's that.
I'm just saying. Maybe a, something in her plus column.
Do you guys think we're getting to the point where having Kanye West on your side is hurting you?
Yes, I mean, I do.
Because he's, you know, making a lot of enemies.
I agree. Yeah. I think he's starting to become a bit of
a liability.
Liability, you're absolutely right.
By the way, I want to shout out the stars of the Walk of Fame right quick, because they said something about they're not going to put my girl on the Walk of Fame because, you know, she's a reality star. Mm-hmm. It's like people are so dated and not modern. It's like there's no way a Kim Kardashian shouldn't have a star on the Walk of Fame. It's like,
wow, who's applauding for that?
Kris Jenner's audience? That was him on the Kris show.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon to the Improv in Melrose.
No.
Love to have you come out to West Hollywood and see us on Melrose. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., come and join us. You can go to improv.com for more details and tickets.
Airtight. Bored.
You can't be bored and airtight, fellas. It's one thing you can't be.
Super sad.
You can be super sad.
Yeah, I'd rather
get to the sex!
Let's all play something at once, shall we?
Right, just let it go.
Damn it.
Smells like donkey ass.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper actor Kid Cudi is 30 years old today. Wilmer Valderrama is 34. Andy Milonakis celebrates his 38th birthday. Christian Bale's 40. Charles S. Dutton is 63 years old today. Vanessa Redgrave, a very talented actress, turned 77. And actor Gene Hackman, one of my favorites of all time, 84 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Ha, Lisa.
What?
What are we going to do with you?
Why?
Lisa on the air this week said, and I want to make sure that everybody gets this word in case you weren't listening at the time. Oh, the Super Bowl? Yeah, I tape that and fast forward through the football to get to the commercials.
Yes, I have done that for years.
She said that on the radio, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm not the only one, you guys.
Well, you're the only one.
It's a great day to go to the movies.
Right.
There's nobody there. Then you come back and you watch all the fun commercials.
Well,
But you're saying, here's the thing. You're saying that out loud.
I'm not ashamed.
That's what you shouldn't do.
I am not ashamed.
Super Bowl commercials are a big deal for a lot of people. Look, I always love the football, but I watch the commercials too because you know that the biggest names are bringing the best stuff they got, and it costs so much money. So I feel guilty if I go to the bathroom or go refresh my dip and somebody's spending $4 million for my 30 minutes, 30 seconds. You know, I feel like I should watch the commercials. But the guy who knows all about it is, of course, over there at Hulu, where they put all of the commercials every year. Jim O'Donnell joins us on the Kevin Amin Show. He is the Vice President of Advertising Sales. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me. And I think you guys are being a little hard on Lisa.
Thank you.
Listen, yes, the ads are entertainment. She just wants to get to the entertaining part.
But the football is the thing.
If you like football. If you don't, then
Jim, what's it costing a company to get a spot on the Super Bowl this year?
You too can be on the Super Bowl for a mere $4 million for a 30-second spot.
It's gone up a lot in the last few years.
I know it's
it?
The big, it's the biggest audience in the world. It's 110 million people or something like that. Is it worth it? Does it end up breaking down to be a good investment?
Well, that question gets asked all the time, and it depends on what you mean by good investment. So it's a great way to get a message out to a lot of people in a very short period of time. Create a lot of buzz, launch new products. But if you're looking to, you know, spend that kind of money and then the next week see your sales go up, that's not really what it's used for.
Now, somebody like Budweiser, who is a perennial advertising giant for the Super Bowl, they advertise a lot throughout the year, too, in sporting events. What are they trying to accomplish? There's nobody on planet Earth who doesn't already know about Budweiser and is making a choice whether to drink that beer or not. What does it benefit them to do spots?
You know, it's always a question about brands that have a lot of share and why do they have to keep advertising? Well, they do it to keep that because every day if they get, you know, 2% of the people switch to a different beer, that's a lot of money for Anheuser-Busch. So
they want
to keep that brand equity. And there's really no better place to do that than the Super Bowl because it gives them a platform to really, really expand creatively. And then every year the expectation gets higher and higher about what are they going to do in this year's Super Bowl.
Right. Now, they seem to, at least what I've been reading on the internet the last 2 days, they seem to be winning the commercial war with their new Puppy Love ad. Can you talk about that some, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, they did a great job, I think, of following up on last year's ad. And
What was last year's ad?
Where they had the, it was very similar, where the guy had the raised the little foal, Clydesdale foal, who grew up to become a Clydesdale.
Okay.
And the Clydesdales came to Chicago, and he drove there to go see what was the horse that he had raised. And I cried like a baby, as most people did. So I didn't cry as much over the puppy ad, but I think they did a great job of doing the same, tugging on the heartstrings. And listen, following up on something that's that emotional is tough to do 2 years in a row.
Right. Bigger question, then we'll get back to talking about some of the individual ads for this weekend. And this is Jim O'Donnell, Vice President of Advertising Sales for Hulu, where you can see all these ads, including the Budweiser Puppy Love ad going on Hulu later today. In the age of the internet, in the age of knowing that all these commercials are going to be online on Hulu after the game, doesn't that kind of take away from some of the incentive to tune in and watch them live?
Well, I don't know that it takes away as much as it gives users and viewers the opportunity to go back and see the ones that they liked or ones that they missed. We make it really easy. We organize them on Hulu.com/AdZone. We also give the users the ability to vote. So even though you might have seen it, you want to go back now to Hulu during the game, before the game's over, and you want to vote for your favorite because we'll announce the number one or the top ads at the end of the game. So I think that, you know, having them out there early, and there's still going to be a number of ads that no one's going to see until the Super Bowl. You know, there's some teasers out there, and there's some ads out there, but there's still it's still the platform to really launch brand new creative and surprise people.
Gotcha. What else are people talking about so far besides Budweiser? I know the Full House gang seems to be in the conversation this year too.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting this year we have the Battle of the Yogurts with Dannon and Chobani, both advertising the exploding Greek yogurt category. So I think that one's going to be interesting to watch. And then you've got perennial favorite GoDaddy.com up against Squarespace. And, you know, GoDaddy has always been an innovator around the Super Bowl. You may remember a few years ago they were one of the first ones to leak their ad and made a big deal about the fact that the networks were rejecting their Super Bowl ads. So that everybody would – I mean, it was brilliant. So that everybody not only would watch – the ad in the Super Bowl, but then go online to see the one that was rejected, which was much more racy than the one that made it on air.
And by the way, I've been sort of fooled by that too, because everybody claims that now. They go, oh yeah, this one's been banned from the Super Bowl. And you go to it and you go, that's not that bad.
Bet you went to it, right?
But you went to it.
That's free.
I think everybody just pretty much claims that.
Yeah.
That's the key. And if you've seen this year, another trend around the leaked ads is like the Scarlett Johansson ad for SodaStream, where that one is allegedly banned because she calls out Coke and Pepsi, not because it was too provocative.
Wow. Right. And that was, I mean, that's an understandable decision. You're a businessman, Jim. That's an understandable decision. You don't want to bite Coke or Pepsi's hands because they give you a lot more money than SodaStream does if you're the network, right?
If you're the network, right. If you're Hulu, we want to have every ad that's on the Super Bowl, so we're happy to take SodaStream.
All right, we're almost out of time. Obviously, Hulu.com, which you're already using, is where you want to go to see all of the Super Bowl commercials. There's a bunch of them already up, including the teasers for Butterfinger and a whole bunch of others we haven't even mentioned here. Anything else you want us to know, Jim, before we say goodbye?
No, I think we just want to tell all of the folks that are listening to go to Hulu.com/AdZone and vote. And you can vote not only on your PC, but across all your devices. It's definitely a multi-platform experience. So sit in front of the Super Bowl. Don't fast forward past the good stuff like Lisa May does. And vote for your favorite ads on Hulu.
All right, Jim. Thanks for the time, man. We enjoyed it.
You bet. Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Lisa May.
Thank you.
Programming note, today is Denny's Friday or Thursday.
Woo-hoo!
So Bean is very excited about that.
Just what does that mean, Denny's? Oh, it's just your Denny's Thursday.
Yeah, I got a system. I got a routine. Come on.
Just so everybody knows it's a good day.
Get out of his way.
Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. I suspect that a lot of people go see these classic rock bands that are still on the road, like the Eagles earlier this month at the Forum, because they never know when those guys are finally going to pull the plug, and it's the last chance to see the Eagles.
Or when God's going to pull the plug.
Right. You know, Fleetwood Mac, whatever it is, whatever classic rock group it is, for God's sakes, how many times have the Rolling Stones been on what we thought was a farewell tour, and they never actually seem to retire?
That's like a 15-year farewell tour.
Try 30, by the way. The first farewell tour of the Stones was in 82.
Oh, my God.
That's why I thought this story was so interesting, because you don't see this very often. The band Motley Crue, who were enormously successful back in the 80s and still have a lot of fans and still play pretty regularly, have come out and said, we are signing legal documents that will prohibit us from ever playing together or touring again after 2015. We are going on a world tour to say goodbye. It is called The Final Tour. And after that, no more. Tommy Lee, in fact, who is the youngest member of the band. By the way, Tommy Lee is only 51. I was surprised by that.
Really?
I thought all of those guys were older than that.
He said this.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final curtain call. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
This is it, right.
Right.
He said, we always had a vision of going out with a big effing bang and not ending up playing county fairs and clubs with one or two original band members. Our job here is done. I kind of have a little bit of respect for that, don't you?
It sounds like a stunt to sell tickets to me.
Well, I mean, I think one side effect of the announcement is that they probably will sell tickets from people who have never seen them or people who want to see them one last time. But I think the fact is they are trying to get out of the touring business while they're all still alive and in the band and giving the fans the best show they can, I think. I don't know. I respect it. Not that I'm the guy who is going to go see Motley Crue anyway.
Oh,
but
no, you're that dude.
I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah. We wanted to find out more about the thought behind this. I mean, aren't you walking away from just a gold mine of money to stop touring? So we said, Dave, who can you get us? And believe it or not, our friend the drummer, Tommy Lee, joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Tommy.
Yeah. Good morning, Rip. Yeah.
Well, right. Rip to you as well. So how are you feeling now that the word is out there that you and the crew are leaving the road for good?
Well, you know... Everything must come to an end, but it doesn't mean the rockin' will. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Oh, you know, I mean, it's just like, you know, my heart is a piston in the engine of life. Ribbon.
Okay. I had to ask, Tommy, and I don't mean to be indelicate here, but your guitarist, Mick Mars, is 100 if he's a day. Is that part of the problem? Is he just can't hack the touring anymore?
No, man. That's crazy, dude. Mick Mars has been dead for 27 years.
Right.
We just put a diaper on and a bum every tour and put him up there, get him a guitar, and just he sways back and forth. Please kickstart my heart. Yeah, because it's like, hey, life's a wave, and... Turbo.
Right, I think it's surfing.
Yeah,
I think.
I'm diesel fuel fast lane.
Right, what you said. But don't, and look, I respect what you're doing, yeah. And I understand it's you're done now, and I get that. But don't you look at the Rolling Stones, who are in their 70s and still play and sound great, and think, well, we could do that if we wanted to.
We could, man. But hey, you know, when life gives you lemons...
Is that the end of that?
Oh yeah, sure, man. I mean, I still got okay. I still got my new rap group, and I've got it's ripping, shredding.
Tommy, is this just a stunt to sell tickets, and you guys are just going to keep touring?
No, man. I'm an artist.
You're an artist.
Yeah.
And when did that start?
Well, you know, yeah, the artists, man. You know, like when they have an easel. And you're painting, you know? It's like, think about it this way.
All right.
It's when the going gets tough,
uh-huh.
Go for it.
Right, I don't think that's the saying either.
Paint it gold.
Hey, are you in a gladiator fight? What's going on behind you, Tommy?
No, man. It's like, hey, every day's a party. Why not bring the punch?
I don't...
Spike it.
Right.
All right. Slam dunk. Yeah. Solo. Ribbon. You, yeah. Leather.
Right.
Denim.
Are we just naming words?
Are you just looking around the room?
Hairspray.
All right.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
K-Rock! We have. I thought we hung up on Tommy Lee.
No,
he's still here.
Our new jingle.
I like it.
A little rockin' K Rock.
I like it.
K Rock. I like it. Hey, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on? What's new?
Well, the toxicology report's back from Miami Beach regarding Justin Bieber's DUI arrest. And okay, I'll give you. He may not have been as loaded as I would have liked regarding the alcohol, but. The blood and urine test proved that he was all hopped up on pot and Xanax when he was driving.
That's why he was going so slow when he was drag racing.
That was his 60-mile-an-hour drag race?
It felt like he was flying.
Whoa, man, I'm fast, bro. So that won't help Justin's case at all. Justin told the cops, according to TMZ, that he'd been smoking pot in his recording studio all night long. Well, okay, then, as long as you're recording.
As long as you're making that music that we all love so much, Justin.
Here's the other thing that's weird. And again, and I am in no way defending Justin Bieber, but the other thing that's weird that's going on in America right now is how hard can we come down on people that have pot in their system when it is becoming legal in other states at the same time?
It's legal to smoke it, but it's still not legal even in those states to drive while under the influence of it.
But how often does somebody ever get a ticket for driving while on pot?
Well, they don't because they don't get pulled over. But if they did,
they
would.
How many people get pulled over for drinking and driving? The majority of those people go away unscathed. But when they do pull you over and you are over the legal limit for alcohol, you get charged.
I guess what my feeling is on the Bieber thing is that his bigger crime here is the drag racing. You know, is his behavior behind the wheel, not so much what he had in his system, I guess.
Well, no.
I driving to go under down the influence for all of it.
Is still driving under the influence. Alcohol is legal in America. But if you drink and then get behind the wheel, you're punished for it.
Yeah. Plus the drugs. I mean, not the pot, but the other drugs.
Which apparently aren't even his.
Yeah.
Stop it, Bean.
Stop it, Bean.
We want to go down on every level.
We should let him go because they could smoke pot in Colorado. Sure, he was busted in Florida. But
what did I say? I want him to get the electric chair, and I want it to be on TV. I'm 100% with you guys. I'm just saying it does bring up interesting legal questions at this time in our history.
Every Showbiz Beat today you've said, I hate him, but we should let him off because of this. You've had a different legal excuse why we should let him skate.
It has been five different excuses.
You're five
today.
For fighting today.
I think it's an interesting case. That's all I'm saying.
Look,
I want him dead, too.
It's interesting.
You don't want him dead.
We don't.
We do. You don't.
You want him, but not dead.
That's right.
That's the problem. I mentioned yesterday that where it is, he's looking to move out of Calabasas, that neighborhood he was in.
It's good news for them.
Keyshawn Johnson, the football star, has already moved because he couldn't deal with Bieber, sold his house, sold it to Kourtney Kardashian. She's in the news today because she sent out a very angry tweet last Tuesday complaining that she doesn't like other people telling her kids what to do. Mind your own business, basically. Apparently, she was complaining that a fellow airline passenger on a flight returning from Mexico to Los Angeles asked her kids to cover their mouths while they were coughing. Doesn't seem too out of line for me.
No, it doesn't.
When cold and flu season is upon us, maybe she should have taken that step. And if she wasn't taking that step, maybe somebody kindly suggested, hey, petri dishes of death. Could you not spread your germs in this confined tube that we're flying in from Mexico for the next couple hours,
please? A lot of people hate getting on planes just for that reason.
It's a death trap. Planes are death traps. You will die if you fly.
Except for the ones that advertise on this station.
Those are very clean, very, very hygienic.
That's right.
And by the way, even if other people around you are telling the truth and you failed as a parent, very few parents can accept hearing it from a stranger.
I understand that. And maybe it rubs you the wrong way, or it gives you a little crankiness. But do you go on Twitter and start admonishing people who are telling
Certainly
your
not.
Kids to cover their mouths while they're coughing?
Certainly not.
Bean's on the side of every one of
he
these
really
people.
He really is.
I'm not defending
I don't like
her.
The Kardashians, but I think she's right when she says that people should shut up.
I didn't say that. I'm explaining
let her off.
Why she was so upset.
Let's not pick on Kourtney Kardashian because people can smoke pot in Seattle.
Bean. I feel like I'm being misinterpreted here on purpose.
You're being evil.
Just a little bit.
That's what's happening. Taylor Swift. This cracks me up. Everyone is hailing Taylor Swift because apparently she's a spectacular matchmaker. She hooked up her best friend Selena Gomez with fellow pop star Austin Mahone. You know, he's got those Mahomies, his fans, the Mahomies.
Is that what they call them?
Oh, yeah. You got the Believers, and now you got the Mahomies.
That's not right.
She hooked them up, and apparently now the two are officially dating, and they're wildly happy. To which I say, really? Lauding Taylor Swift for her hooking up abilities? Taking romantic advice from Taylor Swift is like getting financial advice from a homeless man. What does she possibly know about happy relationships? Taylor Swift. By the way, have we talked about it? Have we talked about the Taylor Swift getting attacked at the Grammys video?
How
did we
funny
mention
is
it
that?
Yesterday? If we haven't, maybe you did it in the Roundup. I'm not aware. But
we did. It's in the Roundup.
But then go to the Roundup at krock.com and check it out because it's the greatest video I've ever seen. It's Taylor Swift at the piano being all angsty, just getting the crap beat out of her, and it's hilarious. Go ahead and watch it over and over.
I'm supporting Taylor Swift, but I like to say that that should never have happened. She shouldn't have been kicked in the face.
That's right.
Well, he might be right in that case. Maybe she shouldn't be.
She wasn't. It just looks like it. It's funny.
Speaking of planes or death traps, and you'll die if you fly, today is the start of February sweeps. I just want to give your people a heads up. So when you're watching your local news tonight, and the lead story is, your sink can kill you.
Oh, sure.
Then you'll know why that's happening.
So we have 30 days of this to look forward to?
We are launching into February sweeps, and that means that a lot of local news is going to try to whip you into a needless frenzy.
Your grass can kill you.
Everything can kill you.
How much more terror do we need in the world with Rat Boat already existing?
I know, Rat Boat. Walking. Good exercise or recipe for disaster? Alan Smith was walking down his street when he tripped and fell and broke his collarbone. Who's to blame? Walking or gravity? Gravity, friend or foe, tonight on the local news.
Maybe I can get on the news with getting out of bed will break your ribs.
That's
maybe I
right.
could be that guy.
You should. Think you're safe in bed? Think again. Mattress of rib death. By the way, I saw them at the Troop last night. They were great.
I'll bet.
And while we're talking about TV ratings, congratulations on Fox's long-running series Bones. Renewed for a 10th season.
Good Lord.
How about that? 10 years of Bones. Also good news. CW has announced they're picking up the new series iZombie. One of my favorite comic books being turned into a TV series. Looking forward to it. Rob Thomas, who originally gave us Veronica Mars, is developing this series. It's a great, great idea. It's about a med student who's a zombie, and she's forced to work in a coroner's office.
Love it.
And when she eats the brains of murder victims, she gets their memories and goes out and tries to avenge their deaths, whoever killed them, because she can't get it out of her head until they get some sort of justice in the afterlife.
No relation to I, Frankenstein, by the way.
No. Except they both have eyes. And there's a new version of Romeo and Juliet in the works.
All right.
Come on. Look.
That's never been told.
I understand. It's a great story. But another Romeo and Juliet movie?
No! I hate books!
More movie news. Billy Bob Thornton's in talks to join the cast of Entourage, the movie.
Yeah. Entourage, the movie.
He'll play a billionaire cowboy turned film producer who puts up the money for Vinny's new project, a big budget Dracula film.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Come on, Billy, you know what that means. You're a producer.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You do. You'd be a producer, and you would be trying to make a movie in the Entourage movie.
I'm not sure what that means.
It means you would be developing
simple.
This, playing a role of a producer in Entourage, and you're making a movie for Vincent Chase.
I don't know. Maybe.
No word on whether he's actually signed or not. But he's in
would you say that to Tom Petty?
No.
He's not directing anything.
What does Tom Petty have to do with the Entourage movie?
Well, it's mashed potatoes with no gravy, you know what I'm saying?
I do. Actually, I understand completely.
I don't. Makes it clear for us all.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kid Cudi is 30 years old today. Wilmer Valderrama celebrates his 34th birthday. I wonder if he'll have any ladies at his party. Think Wilmer will have any ladies at his birthday party?
Doesn't seem like the kind of guy who rolls with young Hollywood.
No, he doesn't. Christian Bale's 40. Charles S. Dutton is 63 years old today. Vanessa Redgrave, 77. One of my favorite actors of all time, Gene Hackman, sadly now retired. We don't get his work anymore, but he gave us Welcome to Mooseport as his farewell, so what more can we ask?
He went out on top.
He did. He's 84 years old. And legendary musician, drummer, former frontman for Genesis, successful solo career as well, actor, 63-year-old Phil Collins today. Come on!
Dancing, but it looks like he's having seizures.
Take a look at me now. It's the My Lord dance. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Dada Life will be in studio. Very excited about that. They have a show tomorrow night in town. We have Cousin Sal talking about the Super Bowl. You were detained at the airport. Movie beat, because it's Friday. And, Ralph, you're going to find this particularly funny. We are talking to the referee of the Puppy Bowl.
And finally, thank God, some Puppy Bowl coverage.
And we have a hard in and a hard out. We have because he's got so many interviews.
He's so much time consuming Puppy Bowl talk.
I said to Dave, "How do we have limits on this particular interview? Aren't we the only ones?" He's like, "No, he's got a full day of interviews."
If we have time tomorrow, we'd also like to cover the new event happening during the halftime, the Puppy Hunger Games.
Oh, we do, actually.
Do we have time?
We do have time.
We might want to explore that, too, because that is an event I'm looking forward to. Puppies with flaming bow and arrows. Now that's a show.
Terrible.
All tomorrow morning.